When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, how about that, my friends? The best show is underway. My name's Tom. I'm the host of The Best Show. And we've got a fun episode of The Best Show for you tonight. The phone number, 201-332-3484. The topic tonight, the order of things. We've got a long list of things. We rank from top to bottom in all of existence. We've done this, we did this a long time ago on the old Best Show. And the top thing would have been...
And I have it written down right here.
Geese crossing the street and making traffic stop. Or, you know, ducks or geese. And at the bottom of this list, Brooklyn Vegan commenters at number 48. This list can be updated, and that's what we're going to do tonight. Again, 201-332-3484. We got surprises galore coming your way. Get ready, because The Best Show is coming at you right about...
No. Wait.
Yes. The Best Show starts now. Someone, right? Limp Bizkit style. Gonna break some tonight, right? Whenever you think he got a bum rap, then like you hear. Because look, it's not easy. It would not be easy to be Fred Durst. Could you imagine what that must be like? to be Fred Durst. Be walking through a parking lot. Everyone just yells at you because you're just the walking definition of just whatever. Irony. People are mad that you exist because they bought your record when they were 12 and you're still here. So they're mad at you for not going away. So they just yell, and your name is Fred Durst, which is maybe the most shoutable. That's as shoutable a name as you could dream up. So they go, Fred Durst! So whenever you feel, whenever I feel for him with stuff like that, then you think of, remember that video he did with, what was the one he did with, Method Man? Remember that one? You think about him, and then you're just like, meh, yeah. He don't deserve to get yelled at in parking lots. But he sucked also. The Best Show is here on the air. The phone number 201-3-323-484. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the program, and we are going to talk about all sorts of things tonight. The order of things, ranking the best and worst things in all of the existence of humankind into a 50 ranking list. When we did it a long, long time ago, some of these things were on the list. Number 39, delivery men who smoke in their cars and pollute my food order. That was me just conveying someone else's thing. That has never happened to me. Number 13, 60-minute episodes of Columbo. This whole list is going to get trashed. We got to trash this whole thing. We're going to trash it. So we'll be doing that tonight. We have some friends will be on the air with us. We have Jay Penry, you know him, co-host of Cheap Shots. Heard over on the, what network is that on? I don't know. East Village Radio. The show that Jay does with his friend, Jay. It's Jay and JJ. Or is it just Jay and Jay? Jay? You always get confused. I know Jay goes by Jay, the Jay who we have here tonight. Jay, period, Penry. The other guy, it's either Jay Green or JJ Green. Not sure. We'll sort that out later. And also, my friend Judy Rosen is here. I want to tell you, the Best Show listener, about what? Get ready. Mattresses. Not just any mattress. Casper mattresses. Casper mattresses. Now, you listen to me, and you listen good. Did you know this Casper mattress? This is a sleep brand that created a perfect mattress they sell directly to consumers. They cut out the commission-driven inflated prices. You have to deal with some mattress salesman trying to stare at you while you're laying on the thing to see if it would be a good mattress to have in your house, talking to you while you're laying there in the mattress store. Now, this Casper mattress, they do it right. They developed a sleek design for their mattresses. They are delivered in a small sized box that makes you go, "How did they do that?" And it also offers an adaptive pillow and soft breathable sheets. And look, mattresses can cost well over $1,500 easy. But Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin size. $600 for a twin XL, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and $950 for a king. And these mattresses, it's completely risk-free. Casper gives you free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. Imagine that, 100 nights. If you don't love it, they pick it up and they refund you everything. And they know the importance of sleeping on a mattress before you commit. Considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Or for me, 1/8 of my life. I don't sleep as well as one might think. I got to get me on one of these Casper mattresses. Then I'll sleep like a baby, right? Time Magazine named them one of the best inventions of 2015. I'm telling you, man, this Casper mattress, you can't go wrong. This is what you do. You go to casper.com/best show. That's casper.com/best show. And use the offer code best show. And they're going to give you $50 toward any mattress purchase. Casper.com/best show. And use that offer code best show. And you get $50 off any mattress purchase. Casper mattresses. Go to sleep, bruh. And the best show is proud to call Squarespace one of our long-term sponsors. I've told you about me trying to build websites before. I'm trying to do stuff on the web before. It don't happen. I'm bad at it. Look, I got a million and one ideas, but I don't know how to build no websites. I don't know how. You got code and all the stuff and plugins, and you just you turn around and it's like, it doesn't look right. And then you got to beg someone to help you, and then they're mad at you. Oh, boy. It is bad news, but that's why we got Squarespace to help us out. Squarespace makes designing your own website a simple and intuitive process. You can add and arrange your comments, content, and features with the mere click of a mouse. Beautiful templates. They are even award-winning. Customizable settings, all without a single plugin. And you get that free custom domain. If you sign up for a year, you get a custom domain for free for a year. And the customer support can't be beat. 24/7 customer support, and every member of the customer care team is an experienced Squarespace user working in a Squarespace office. No matter how technical your problem or trivial seeming your question, one of the team is always online, ready to assist you. So you look at this. You got the tool, the commerce tools, you got the templates, you got the custom domain. I'm telling you, man. You want to build a website, you want to get your dream out there, let everybody know what you're doing, whether it's a gallery, a landing page, an online store, or a blog. Squarespace, that's what you do. So this is what you do. You go over to start that free trial. You go over to squarespace.com and enter in offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace.com, enter offer code BESTSHOW. And you get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, here it comes. Everybody get ready. They have not embraced it yet as their actual corporate slogan. I've heard stuff between the reading the tea leaves. Some people like it up there. But there's only one way we get it to be official is if we keep saying it. Squarespace, build your website, bro. Oh, the phone number, 201-3-323-484. Who's good here, Mike? Three. Best show.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Welcome to the best show.
Who am I speaking to?
Who are you speaking to? Who do you think you're speaking to?
This is Sir Dick Dreyfus, and I've just finished a nice glass of Chablis with my dear...
Best show.
Hey, this is John from Maplewood.
John from Maplewood. What's up, John?
How you doing? I'm sorry to, if I call too often.
But I
couldn't pass on the order of everything.
You couldn't. You can't resist. Because you're a guy who likes order.
Maybe that's it. I like to organize stuff.
You like to put things in the right arrangement, right?
That's right. That's right. I'm a suburban guy who likes order and no chaos. Yeah.
Do you like going to a store that sells storage containers, like tubs and whatnot?
Yeah, I do. I don't go too often, but when I'm in there, I do feel a sense of calm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, with that in mind, John from Maplewood, one of the this is a guy who, you know, he's like the Wade Boggs of the Best Show. He always steps out. He always gets a hit. He always gets on. He always gets on base. High batting average from this guy.
Maybe not home runs a lot, but
no. Look, you get on base.
I get on base.
So what do you have, John?
Look, so is it too early because I couldn't hear the show when I was on hold to bring up an order of everything?
Oh,
thing?
You bring up whatever you want.
Okay, so someone was recently bragging to me about seeing a Fish concert from a corporate skybox.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was the strangest brag I've ever heard. Like, seeing Fish, the band Fish, from a corporate skybox seems like a terrible, terrible thing.
So would you want to make, how would you phrase this one? Should it be about Fish or should it just be about watching concerts from a corporate skybox?
I would have to say it's the whole thing. It feels like watching Fish from a corporate skybox is the item.
All right, we're putting that very low on the list. That.
The way I described it to him, mm-hmm. and I hope he didn't take offense, was that it's like going to the dump in the tuxedo.
Going to the dump. Yeah. Going to throw out a flat screen TV that don't work no more.
Mm-hmm.
In a top hat and tails.
Yeah, or like a boater and like a seersucker.
46.
I'll take it.
You can take it. Look, we might slide around, but that's a pretty bad one. I'm not counting on anything to get better than that.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom.
Thank you, John. You have a grand evening.
You too. Bye. Bye.
I'm being told to go to the hotline. I'm being told the hotline has someone who is important on it, and that this person needs to be talked to immediately because they are a famous person.
Very busy. Very, very, very busy. Can't talk.
Now,
can't talk, Tom.
To whom am I speaking on the hotline? Who is this?
Hold on a second, Tom. Yeah, I said double calf, decaf. Just talking to one of my unpaid interns, Tom. Sorry. Okay, get it done tomorrow. I'm sorry about that, Tom.
That's okay. You sound impassioned.
Well, I was trying to do the impression of someone who was very busy and important. Hello?
No. Hello? Yeah, oh, no. This is Andy Kindler, isn't it?
Yes, everybody. Yay!
This is the guy who right now, he is a guy who took the biz.
That's right.
Every year, there's this thing called Just for Laughs in Montreal.
Juste pour rire.
And this guy, Andy Kindler, who's one of the top comics, as everybody knows. he goes up there and he does this thing called the State of the Industry. And this is 20 right. years. And it's no holds barred when he's up there doing this thing. And he lets everyone have it. Everyone gets it, right?
Well, actually, this year there was one hold barred. Come on.
One hold. Oh, so you barred one hold.
Yeah, I also pulled out one stop okay. instead of all the stops.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh. And Todd Barry introduced me. Mm-hmm. Todd Barry of Best Show fame.
Yeah, Todd is a friend of the show as well. And I heard the intro, and he was giving you the business straight off. So it's like Kindler starts from a deficit on this one.
That's right. I was in a hole. Then I basically I wasn't afraid to say things that if I had a thriving career, could have hurt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, you do have a thriving career.
I was very disappointed, though, Tom. The only jokes that didn't work, well, not the only jokes, let's not lie. They didn't like my G.E. Smith. Uh-oh, I pulled the thing on my ear. They didn't like my G.E. Smith slams.
G.E. Smith, who is the guitarist people know him as the guitarist for Hall & Oates a lot. It's like he was the guy, or he was the Saturday Night Live band leader.
Right.
And then now he's like the guitarist for the Republican convention.
Right. And I saw him, I don't want to plug my own credits, but I was at the Republican National Convention in 2012 for Letterman. Thank mm-hmm. you. And then I saw him there. I couldn't believe it. And so I started to read up, and he doesn't claim to be a Republican. He says he did it because the money was really great.
Mm-hmm. And you gave him the biz. You gave him the business.
Yeah. Here's what I said. Here's what bombed. I said, G.E. Smith and the Sellouts are going into the studio to record Sessions with Jeff Sessions. You can also catch him at Confederate Bonnaroo. And you can also catch him at the People Who Look Like Us Festival.
And this, the audience pushed back on these.
They flipped the script.
Yeah.
Actually, the one that they did get a laugh is I said, G.E. Smith agreed to change his name to Comcast Smith for $100.
Look,
boom.
Look, I heard it. I heard it. It was, you do this thing. It's so funny when you do that state of the industry. I love it. I love it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
I like it too.
And
I like it too, but. Yeah,
but this is not your bread and butter. Your bread and butter is this guy's a road dog. For people who don't know, this guy's a road dog.
Absolutely, and don't anybody thinks that what I do in the clubs is anything like I do at the speech. When I'm in the clubs, it's all about the crowd. I want to service the crowd. I want the crowd to be pleased.
Yeah,
and it's all up tempo. It's all generic. Everybody generic. Can relate to it.
Yeah.
And it works all over the country.
And, yeah, it's a universal act he does.
Right.
Andy. And the other fun thing is whatever town he's performing in.
Yeah.
If you want to meet Andy, you just go to the Applebee's in your town.
Right.
And he'll be there with a sampler platter in front of him.
Hey, Tom, here's a joke that works, for example, in every town. Hey, I just got into Lincoln, Nebraska. Does the yellow light mean speed up in this town?
So these are the ones that are the evergreens.
Yeah,
the ones...
yeah, nice city. I bet it'll be nice when you're done building it. That works everywhere. Whether you're in the Big Dig in Boston,
mm-hmm.
whether you're in Omaha, I can't think of two cities.
Yeah, you've blanked. You've run out of cities after Lincoln, and all. You're just working. You're just covering Nebraska for some reason.
And the only reason why I had Lincoln was because the GOP, they always claim to be the party of Lincoln. So that's mm-hmm. how I remembered that.
Now you, where are you performing? Where can people, if they're just like, I heard this guy and I want more. I'm not happy with what I got. I want more. I want to shake. I want to shake this guy's hand.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would be nice if a phone call like this was you could ask a question like that, and I could say, "Thanks for asking, Tom. This month I'll be." But I've got nothing. It's a big mistake. I don't think I'm playing anywhere to the end of September because I have to be in L.A. to field all of the post Just for Laughs offers.
To really, you've got to just put out fires and just really calm people down so they realize that you're on the same team, that you're just ribbing them.
That's my character. I roast. What does Jeff Ross say? He only roasts the ones he roasts. I only roast the toast I roast.
You only roast the toast. That's what Andy says at the end of his act. Andy, at the end of his act, does two things. He says, I only roast the toast who roast.
Right.
And then he also says, I remember.
I also say, oh.
No, go ahead. You say what you say.
I say, don't forget the Andy Kindler neck pillows are for sale in the lobby. And after the show.
The neck pillows are for sale. And then he ends each show by saying, I was in the Navy, and when I stood on the deck of that ship, every man next to me of every race, creed, and color was standing there. And we were all united for a common cause, and everyone was together. And I recall something that Will Rogers said. He said, I don't make fun of the little guy. I only make fun of big people, and each and every one of you tonight are big, big people. And then Andy leaves.
Folks, I may have said some things tonight that could be perceived as damaging, but if I don't care if you're black, if you're white, I don't care what creed you are, or if you don't know what the word creed means. It's all about what we're doing together here, and then the audience gets up and we slow dance. Why did I try and top what you were doing? You had the perfect end of my show, and I had to one-up you.
Well, Andy, this is a actually, there's a young comedian here who actually would like to say something to you. Would that be okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, who's this?
My name is Gary.
Is this Gary the Squirrel?
It is. Congratulations!
Oh, thanks, Gary. Thanks. I was surprised you didn't call me in Montreal to congratulate me on my speech.
I didn't. You know why?
Why?
I don't have an international plan on my phone.
Hey, Gary, do you know how I started off in comedy? Did I ever tell you that story?
Wait, you're in comedy?
Yeah, I was in a comedy duo when I started. Did I ever mention that to you?
No, please do.
Okay, I was in the comedy team of Andy and Bill.
Andy and Bill, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which one were you?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-bow!
Now, Andy!
Yes?
Kindler!
That's me.
I want you to not call me Gary the Squirrel. Call me Gary Squindler.
Okay, what? Well, but are you taking my? Don't take my. Don't try and get buzzed off on my buzz, Gary. I built a career on my own.
I know. Nothing but respect. I watched your State of the Industry.
What'd you think?
I'm going to do my own State of the Industry. It was funny stuff, Kindler, funny stuff.
So you're going to critique my critique of the industry?
Yeah. The funny...
Why do I feel like... Which one of us is Danny Kaye?
When I watched your thing, the state I was in was the state of boredom.
Well, you didn't find... Well, how about you didn't like my anti-Ricky Gervais material?
Oh, no, I loved it. And do you know what edible arrangements is?
Yeah, you get these things and you can eat them.
If an edible arrangements truck tipped over, there'd be less low-hanging fruit than your act.
Oh, Gary.
You? No, really, 20 years in, that's so impressive.
30 years in.
30?
Oh, yeah, my 20 years on the speech.
Yeah, with the
30
speech.
30 years for my career.
I wonder what would happen if you did it somewhere where people don't speak French.
Well, there are, I'm playing the role of the straight man now. There are English-speaking people in Montreal, Gary.
Congratulations on it. It's very exciting.
That's it?
No. You managed to mention Donald Trump in that thing more than Donald Trump mentions Donald Trump.
Gary, can I have your low-hanging fruit line? No, I can't have that. That's yours.
No, but you can have it. I will say this.
Yes.
If someone gave you a time machine,
right,
the second thing you'd go do would be to kill Hitler.
What would be the first thing?
To push Jay Leno down the steps of the Comedy Store. And what is this Comedy Store? What is that? What kind of store is that?
It's a store where, well, it's not a store literally, but it's where people hear, it's like they're cranking out the laugh.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
On sale today. Hate mongers. On sale. We got a special on Ari Shaffir. Half price. Buy one Joe Rogan. Get Don Barris half off.
Half off all our homophobic material has to go.
All,
must go.
All hate speech must go. But think about it. The Comedy Store is where Andrew Dice Clay got his start, right?
Yes.
Think about it. His nickname is Dice. Do you know why his nickname is Dice?
Why is that?
Because like Dice, he's going to do one of six things over and over.
This is prepared material. Gary, you're...
This is off the top of my head! I swear!
You've never seen misogyny prices this low.
You gotta...
At this price, you can afford to hate women.
You know... I don't know why you go after Louis C.K. so hard. I can't believe you didn't like that show he did. Snorris and Sleep.
Horace and Pete.
I thought it was Snorris and Sleep. Because that's what it made me want to do.
Wait, I can't hear the first word because of your squirrel accent. What's the first word?
Snorris.
Snorris and Sleep.
Yeah. Only that guy would say, only he would say, I think I could do the best show ever set in a bar.
And it's not supposed to be a comedy. Please disabuse yourself of that notion.
Yeah, he's... Hey, Kinla.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Jimmy Fallon?
What happened? No.
He's hosting the 2017 Golden Globes.
Is that true? No, yeah. Ricky Gervais?
No, they just announced it. Jimmy Fallon. Oh. So you know what you get ready for? Helen Mirren and Dame Judi Dench doing a three-legged race.
And he'll say, it's so great. It's so great.
Ah, it's so awesome.
Great.
Ah, it's so awesome.
So great, so great.
Why doesn't this guy just open up a summer camp and get it over with?
He's going to call me on my deathbed, and he's going to say, so great. I heard you're dying. So great. It's so great.
So awesome. It's so awesome. I know you're making fun.
Big fan.
Yeah, you're making fun. I know. I get it.
I get it. So big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan. Andy Kindler? So great. Yeah. Andy Kindler. I know that guy. Sure. Andy Kindler, sure. The guy does the thing, sure.
You know he's been off the air for like 9 years.
That one?
No.
See? I went the other way.
Jay Leno!
Jay Leno still has a show. He has a car. He has a show, uninterestingly enough, about cars.
Do you think there's any chance that Jay Leno's car show would crash into Jerry Seinfeld's car show.
I think he did a bit. Well, they've both done each other's shows. I'm trying to think of this one show where Jay's driving a crazy car, and then Jeff Dunham drives up the other way, and he's got the same insane car. What are the odds, since it was prearranged, but still?
I think Jay Leno is great. Who else is going to drive a Model T on the 101 at rush hour? People try to get home from work. He's going 4 miles an hour.
And it's not because he doesn't have his own personality. That's not why he buys these horrible-looking cars and spends all his time in a garage. It's not because off-camera he has nothing to say. So don't even go there.
I want you to take that edible arrangements line. That's my 20-year gift to you.
Oh, so I can't have snores and sleep?
No, you can have that one, too.
Okay.
I'm like Louie. I'm doing my new... I do it, then I don't do it no more.
That's right. You don't do any... You never repeat squirrel material.
I'm working on my new hour. My new hour.
That's right. Because you have strict rules. The main thing is to let people know all of those details that they don't necessarily have to know, but it makes you look good if they know it.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm sorry. I took the interview down, yeah. Gary. I'm sorry.
What are you, David Steinberg, all of a sudden? Analyzing comedy?
You know what it is, Gary? Some people say things funny. Other funny say people things funny. Things.
That was my David Steinberg.
He left. Gary just left.
Oh, that was... He was on fire tonight.
He left. He had no... He didn't have notes or anything in front of him.
I can't believe that, because the low-hanging fruit was off the top of his head.
I guess so. He didn't have notes.
He must have been, but he's working with a vocal coach, or I'm on a good phone because I can hear everything he said.
Well, maybe that. What they did? They have a phone bag, phone in that gift bag at the thing.
What thing? Is it just for laughs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a gift. No, I got a decent CDs. Although one company gave out a whoopee cushion, and when does that ever get funny? I mean, not funny.
Yeah, a whoop. Just like people who are just like, this is a comedy thing. We got to do this. It's laughs. We got to have laughs. It's like, not just give people a USB drive or something. Give them something they can actually use. Not
what are you telling me that the clown nose and mustache didn't come in? Well, what else do you got? You got the onion gum? Okay.
Onion gum.
No on the X-ray specs. Joy buzzer. Joy buzzer.
Yeah, a joy buzzer. That would be.
I just switched from comedy to comic books.
Yeah, now you're on the last page. Now, what are you going to sell? Grit next?
I'm on the last page. Yeah. I am literally can read off that last page.
Yeah. What are you doing, the Charles Atlas thing also?
Wait a second, hold on. I think I still have a bazooka bubblegum in my glove compartment. Let me see if I can get some jokes. Hey, sluggo.
You know what's always amazing about those Charles Atlas things? Remember that guy gets the sand kicked in his face?
Yeah.
In the one panel? And
right. The
thing is, he gets sand kicked in his face like he's like a weakling, but then that dude is doing a pretty good job of trashing his house in the next frame. Where he's raging about being a weakling. It's like the painting is crooked. He's kicking. It's like if he brought that rage to the fight, he could beat that muscle head up on the beach.
Right.
He just needs to get in touch with the anger that's in him.
Well, I also like the idea that the only way to get bullied is to find a beach somewhere. I was able to be bullied without being anywhere near the ocean.
You were not. Yeah. You found some shortcuts to getting bullied.
Yes.
You didn't have to go to the beach.
Cape Cod.
Yeah. You're laying your blanket out and.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I've avoided bullies this long.
Yeah. Oh, no. Here
and
comes,
now what's going to happen?
Here comes a muscle bound guy coming down the beach. Oh, no. What am I going to do?
Well, I hope he doesn't use this. I hope he doesn't use the sand against me.
Yeah, and that guy, like, kicked sand at, like, that's not exactly the toughest move for, like, some guy who's totally buff like that, and he just kicks sand at you.
I think he had a complex. Maybe the sand was accidental, and this Charles Atlas guy, first of all, his name was Charles Atlas. How could he?
How
his name is Charles.
His name was Charles Atlas. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet on a guy named Charles Atlas to win the fight.
Oh, man. Those were the days, right?
Those were the days.
Me and you in our pup tent with our flashlight.
In our one-piece bathing suit, like our...
Reading Archie or Beetle Bailey. That was your favorite?
I'm going to say this. My friend Chip Zdarsky, there's a guy, Chip, he's a comic book illustrator and writer.
Yeah.
And he currently writes, and I'm not kidding, he writes Jughead. And he is in charge of the Jughead reboot. And this Jughead comic is so great. Like, he does such a good job on this Jughead thing. It's such a great comic to read. Jughead is back. Chip brought Jughead. And Chip was doing Howard the Duck. He was writing Howard the Duck, and it was so much fun, and now he's not doing Howard the Duck no more. But he's doing,
because Jughead's taken off?
He's doing Jughead now.
Can you believe that I actually said a sentence that included, so Jughead's taking off?
Yeah, so Jughead's taking off. Yes. Look, Andy.
Well, was he part of that whole movement where they were making it more, like, real, Archie? Because that, a few years ago, they were going to, like, make someone gay and the whole thing.
This is updated. This is updated. It's a lot of fun. I tip my hat to Chip Zdarsky for his Jughead update.
It's going to be, is Wednesday New Comic Day?
I believe Wednesday is New Comic Day. Look out, Golden Apple. Andy Kindler's coming your way tomorrow.
Hold on a second. I get it $5 if I say, did you say Earth to Comics in Sherman Oaks? Is that what you said?
$5. So you're striking deals for radio shows in advance with Earth to Comics in Sherman
Oaks. What's the alternative, Tom? Do you see?
Look, you go where
people banging.
You go where you want to go.
I don't have Ricky Gervais Verizon vibe going on.
But you have to realize this thing with Ricky Gervais is he's just mad at that map, Andy.
He's mad at what?
He's mad at that map that shows the cell phone coverage.
Who would buy a product that guy was excited about? He's the most depressing guy. Oh, let me have the phone of the guy who makes me feel small who laughs in my face. He's meaner than Andy Kindler's.
Yeah, let me get that guy. Wait, what's he selling? Oh, phones? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, is that the guy who says I'm an idiot for believing in God? That's the guy? Oh, I don't think I want a phone from him.
Well, you know, I think that he proves that there is no God, though, basically, because of his success. Clearly, there is no God, Andy.
You're right. He makes me. That's where the doubt comes in. After watching him.
This is like a crisis of faith thing where they should get all like religious heads together to be like, we cannot answer. This is like an imponderable question we cannot get to the bottom of. Like, if there is a God, how can Ricky Gervais being so successful. And just like all these religious leaders, they're working on her for years, trying to come up with some sort of explanation. And they eventually just go, we don't know. I guess this is that leap of faith you need to take.
Yeah, well, it's just like when they say, if there's a God, why is there starvation and wars? Well, it's the same thing. If there's a God, why would he create a Ricky Gervais? I mean, obviously there's no God. Who would create such a malevolent force?
Well, Andy, I know you've got a busy night ahead of you. I appreciate you squeezing this in.
I love you, Tom. I'm so glad that you allowed me in.
Oh, thank you for being on the show. Of course, buddy. I will.
Okay, I'll speak to you. Say hi to Mike too.
Nah, that's all right.
Okay. I'm sorry. That was my worst closer.
I'll talk to you later. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, thanks,
Andy Kindler. How about that? Star packed right off the bat. Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Colin in Philly.
Colin in where now?
In Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Colin in Philadelphia. What's up, Colin?
I'm calling to announce a GoFundMe that I started for you. I'm sorry that you're going to have to be watching Sausage Party.
If I take the money, look, I'll say this. This guy, Colin, seems like a very nice guy. Could you cut the air for a couple minutes? Thank you, Dudio. Speaking of Philly, I feel like I'm in the Rocky meat locker up in here, right? I feel like Rocky should be punching me. It's so cold in this place. So I said on Twitter a few days ago that it would cost $800 for me to see the movie Sausage Party. I'd have to get paid $800.
Yeah, you would have to pay me $800.
Now, this guy, Colin, gotta love him. This is what he does. He starts a GoFundMe to raise money for
Sausage Fest.
To get me to see Sausage Party.
Yeah, Sausage Party. Yeah.
And so he puts a thing out, and I've not promoted this. I'm very torn about this. The more I think about it, it makes me feel like trash on some level. It makes me feel stupid. It makes me feel stupid. You know why? Because it's like these guys are making movies. Look, I'm on paper. I'm supposed to be a professional here. I'm supposed to be I'm funny. I'm supposed to be like peers with people like that make Sausage Party in terms of my ability. But here I am, they're off making movies, and what am I doing? Oh, I'm on the receiving end of a GoFundMe to watch one of their movies.
Yeah.
There's something that makes me feel small about it. You know what I mean? Can you see that, Colin?
Yeah.
I'm struggling with this. With this GoFundMe, I don't know if I would take the money on. I don't know. What is it even up to now?
Well, initially, yeah, there's two goals, and we met the first goal, which was $800. So yeah, until that point, I was afraid that you were going to make me give all the money back.
Yeah. So there, it's at $910. And yeah. I said for $1,500, I could be filmed watching the movie Sausage Party.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm contemplating this. I'm still this is something I'm battling with Colin.
Yeah. Well, just so everybody knows, all this money is going to Tom directly, and I can't even touch the money actually, which took me a while to figure out because I've never used GoFundMe before. I was kind of, happy to see the opportunity to, really happy to see the opportunity to, give Tom money.
Yeah, look, I'll we'll figure some version of it out. Look, I'll see the dumb movie. How about that? All right? I guarantee I will see the movie. And what I do with this money, I said at first I'm just going to keep all the money. I don't know if I could keep that money. I'd feel filthy. I'd feel filthy. We'll see. We'll see what I'm not going to be. I'm not an animule. I'm not a money thief here. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean,
people can check this sausage party thing out. There's a GoFundMe that Colin started.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for caring, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I was just watching the Hillary Clinton speech, and I had seen previously that you had stopped tweeting political tweets.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of how this all came about.
Okay. Well, there you go. This is my politics for 2016, whether I see Sausage Party or not.
Yeah, and I'm going to register to vote. I've never voted before.
Well, this is going to be an exciting day. This is an exciting day for you. Look at you going to the voting booth.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the post office or whatever and so register.
Don't get scared in there. Don't get scared. Don't get scared.
The last time that I tried, I actually tried to vote last election, and I wasn't registered, and I didn't care. The people that were there were so upset that I wasn't registered.
Well,
they're so sad for me.
Well, I'm go register then and you vote. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. We'll see what happens with this.
Can I get off of the topic?
Sure. The order of things.
Yeah, the order of things. Sausages.
What are you, some weird thing with sausages? Is this some weird thing? Is this what drew you to this? So just sausages. You think sausages should... Where should we rank sausages?
Not very high.
No, I would not put them high either. We'll put them at 39.
So Sausage Fest, the Sausage Party comes out in a week from Friday.
August 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see, buddy. We'll figure it out. I'll see it. I promise I'll see it.
All right.
Have a great night.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this sausage party thing. You know what I mean, Mike? It's humiliating. I'm supposed to be a professional here. I'm as funny as any of these people making sausage party. But now here I am taking my... Oh, give me your money. I'll go see it. I gotta make a movie or something. There's gotta be some kind of movie I gotta make. Why can't I do something big? I'm tired of these little moves. No more little moves, no more. I'm tired of these little moves. I'm surrounded by these small mind. Never mind. I'm not getting into that. Guys like Mike. Again, I'm not going there. I'm sorry. Oh, and by the way, Mike wants me to mention that his shirts, his Masses Tavern shirts, are still available. He got a new shipment, and all the sizes should be in stock now. And he has his shirts for sale over at Bandcamp, apmike.bandcamp.com. You get one of these Masses Tavern shirts. This is the bar that Mike Ten's bar there. And, you can get a Masses Tavern shirt. Go to apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm being told to go to the hotline.
Hello?
The Cavalcade of Stars continues tonight on The Best Show on the hotline. We have a rock star on the hotline. Oh, my goodness. Is this Alicia?
Yeah, this is Alicia.
Alicia from formerly of River City Tan Lines, or currently.
Oh, we're still a band.
Okay, you're still a band. Okay.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. So River City Tan Lines is one of your bands, Alicia Trout.
Yeah.
And you were in Lost Sounds.
Yeah.
And now you have a new band. which is called Sweet Knives.
Yeah.
Who we heard at the start of the show. I didn't even get to announce that. Oh, my goodness. I forgot to say what we heard. We heard a song by Sweet Knives called Sound on Sound. Which
All
is,
right.
That's new. And that's on, you have a single coming out soon? Is that what that's on?
It's like a double 7-inch. So it's four songs. And it's on Red Lounge Records in Germany. It's halfway out so far. Half the records have made it to the United States, and the second record hasn't made it yet.
So it is in transit.
Yeah, so. Second half is in transit, so I guess it's not out till both halves are here.
Okay, yeah. Well, you need both halves of a double 7-inch to make it a complete release. Now,
yeah.
Sweet Knives was a Lost Sounds song. That was the name of a song by Lost Sounds.
Well, that's where we've got our name, Sweet Knives, directly from Lost Sounds, because we started together doing my Lost Sounds songs. When Rich moved back to Tennessee, we were like, someday we're going to play these songs again that we played with Lost Sounds. And then we thought about it a bunch, and we just couldn't figure out a way to do it, to do Lost Sounds again without Jay in the band. It just would be ridiculous to get a sub for him and be strange to be playing his songs without him being there. So I called up Rich one day and I was like, I've got about 60 songs of my own. Can we just pick from those? He's like, yeah, we'll pick from those. And then so we started as just like a cover band of ourselves. You know how like there might be a Beatles cover band and they call themselves Abbey Road or something. So
yes.
We're just a cover band of ourselves at first. But then we got together this winter and wrote four new songs together.
And Rich, when you say Rich, you're talking about Richard Crook. Does he go by Rich or Richard? I'm so bad with that.
Usually Rich.
Okay, so, and he was in Lost Sounds with you.
Yeah.
And when you say Jay, you're talking about Jay Retard, who was also in Lost Sounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who listen to the show obviously know that Jay passed on, I guess, about 6 years ago now, is it?
That's, I'm thinking 4 or 5, but yeah, okay.
It's been, yeah, and Lost Sounds were such a great band. You guys were so awesome and so definitely one of the most intense bands I think that I've ever seen ever. And it was like, not scary, not like I was scared something was going to happen, but it was just amazing to see how incredibly intense you guys were.
Yeah, I think we did scare some people, or a lot of people think I'm scary, and I'm like, no, just my band might have been scary, but I'm not scary.
But that's the thing, it's like you on your own are not scary, but then when everybody in that band would get together and then you would do that, play that music, it's like, okay, this is scary. Look, I'll say it, it was scary. I was scared. Fine, I'll admit it. I was scared. Is that what you wanted to hear, Alicia? I was scared.
I can understand now why it feels so good to play the band, to do the band again, because like the intensity, I don't do that anymore, and I have to be picking up these songs from the past and playing in that same configuration of people to get that same rush, you know, whatever it is, the scary good rush.
Yeah, because there's something super scary about, like, keyboards used for, like, sinister purposes.
Yeah, there wasn't really a model for the band and for the songs, but it was like everybody liked pop songs and everybody was liking black metal at the same time. So we were just, like, listening to and synth stuff. So that's how it came out, is it was like garage pop, synth, black metal. That's why we ended up getting the black wave description from somebody, because they were like, you like black metal and new wave, black wave.
It makes sense, though. Look, I'm not, I don't think people need to slap labels on stuff. I thought it was just rock music. Like, that's kind of all I took it as. But if you've got to give shorthand for things, I guess that there are worse things to call it, right, than black
waves.
Well,
no, I love that description because it's just two things. It's just a blend of two things. But, I mean, I think people, I really was interested to play these songs again. Unfortunately, we can't do a full Lost Sounds reunion, but I just wanted to see if, you know, 10 or 15 years later, if they made a little bit more sense, you know, if we didn't just have people staring at us like, what's going on? I know it's intense and scary, but I don't know what's going on. And
Well, do you feel like people are getting up to speed on Lost Sounds now? Like that
I have no idea, because we kind of missed the whole internet thing. Like, so we don't have a zillion pictures and a zillion YouTube phone videos of our band playing, and I don't know. I mean, I feel like Jay brought some attention to it, but I think it's still left there for a lot of people to discover, and I don't know what it seems like. It's somebody can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it would only appeal to like the anxiety of somebody more in their 20s and maybe their 30s, and somebody might not enjoy listening to it for the first time if they're my age right now in their 40s. If they didn't hear it back then, I don't know if it's going to have the same effect, but I have no idea what that age group listens to. Or maybe I'm completely wrong and it's completely for people my age in their 40s.
I don't know. Look, I think everybody's got days where it's just like, I don't want to hear that right now. And then there's times where it's just like, where's that Lost Sounds record? That's kind of fitting where things are at right now. So I think it doesn't go away, and that you... Look, it was. I feel like with time, Lost Sounds and so much of what Jay had done is gonna kind of people will understand what all that was, because there were so many bands going on simultaneously and everybody was doing a little bit of this and that and all over the place. But it's like you can kind of see all the pieces now, and
there was so much good music going on at that time of both new bands and also so much stuff being rediscovered at that time, that we were a band, and it was, you know, kind of pre-internet, and so when people were bored, they were picking up instruments and forming bands still rather than, you know, doing digital social media and stuff, you know, but we just came on at the very end or beginning of that. But you know, I mean, at least in my point of view, I felt like so much new and so much to rediscover all at the same time to pull in as your influences.
Yeah, and it's you can kind of take it in now, like it's kind of like, but the great thing is now that you guys are back as Sweet Knives, now there's a continuation of it also, which is great, because you are a great songwriter, and you've done like River City Tan Lines is such a great band, and you were like the, it was like you guys were like a tandem in Lost Sounds in terms of who was doing what, like trading off. So I'm glad, look, the record is great, the single, which will be out soon, I guess you can say. Soon.
I think it's officially released on August 5th, the day our tour begins. I can't remember what Red Lounge said.
And where is the tour? Where can people find the tour dates?
We have a Sweet Knives Facebook page, and that's about the only place the dates are. I guess it's under an event, which you could search. And we're the only Sweet Knives, though. I believe there is a band called Sweet As Knives. I don't know if they've got any songs out.
No, don't see them. Don't see their don't go to their tour.
I don't think they're, I wonder if they're touring right now on a double 7-inch release. but yeah, we'll be, that's our tour dates, and we're going to be going to the East and the Midwest and up to Chicago and Detroit, and we'll hit some cities around here. It's just 2 weekends with the week in between.
And when is, are you doing New York?
We're not going to New York. We would have had to put that on like a Tuesday, and it just didn't really fit in the schedule as well. So we're going to some of our favorite cities in the middle of the week, which would be Athens, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and then Chicago on Thursday. And then we're going to be doing Kalamazoo, Detroit, Indianapolis, Indiana. It'll be our first time there.
Wow.
But before that, we're going to Nashville, Asheville, Knoxville, and Chapel Hill.
All right. So you're running that line there.
Kinda... It's a good line. It all runs well together.
And Alicia, I've always been such a big fan of all the stuff you do. You in Lost Sounds, River City Tan Lines. I'm so glad you and Rich are back with Sweet Knives now, and the record's great. And people go to the Facebook and get it there and see the tour dates. And if the cities that Alicia just named, if you're in one of them, go see the band. I don't know why I'm saying it in such a pleading way. Go see the band. How about that? Is that better? Go see the band.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's great, and I appreciate you letting us know what's up with it, and I'm really glad you're doing this. It's very exciting.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be doing it. I'm glad it came together, and, you know, we've got, like, people. We've got, our band is not all in the same city, but we got together and practiced once and had a show that night on the 16th of July, and we played songs we'd never played before ever together at that show after practicing one time, and they went great. So I know everyone's, it just goes easy together.
Good. It should.
Whereas it was so hard in the past.
Yes. That kind of goes with making super scary, intense music, is that you have to ride out all that crazy energy all the time.
Yeah.
Now you can maybe exhale a little bit. And then, but when you're there on stage, then it gets bonkers again. So,
bonkers.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, Alicia. And people should go check the record out and check the tour out. For Sweet Knives.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Of course. I'll talk to you soon. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right,
bye. That's nice. That's one of my favorite people. Alicia Trout. Such good. So much good music. I wish I was talented. Man, wish I could make songs. I need a... Like... You know, like carpool karaoke. Is that what? Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Is Jay here?
He is.
Would you show Jay and Judy into the a studio, please? And put the air on. Come on, it's hot again in here. I tell you, man. I can't win for losing here, man. With these, you got this AP Mike. He's always saying, mention apmike.bandcamp. Did you mention it? Did you tell him the sizes are back in? Then you got Pat Byrne. Look, Pat's a good guy. Pat's the good guy of the show now. Pat's the good guy. Then you got, this Dudio, and God knows what he's up to these days, right? Studio. He's scheming, plotting. Because again, it goes like this. Mike hates Dudio. Dudio hates Mike. Pat doesn't like either of them. He doesn't hate either of them. They both like Pat. Pat's dog hates Mike, like Studia. Mike hates Pat's dog. Dudio also hates Pat's dog. He does. He just said, I truly hate that dog. Yeah, right?
It's so cute.
Yeah, Judy Rosen. That dog is cute.
Hello, Tom.
Pat's dog. And this Pat, so, yeah, so look. Do you know what this carpool karaoke, have you ever seen that? It's these videos that this guy does. He's got this talk show where he drives people around in cars and they do.
Not a fan.
No, you're not a fan?
I like the Chili Peppers one.
Wait. Of course you do.
Jay,
it's part of my job.
So the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Jay is being paid by Flea.
Mr. Kiedis.
By Mr. Balzary.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith, Mr. And the other dude.
Yeah, drawing a blank. Navarro?
No, Navarro's out after one hot minute.
Oh, no, okay. No neck Navarro?
No neck Navarro?
No neck Navarro. What are you? What is this? Welcome back, Cotter? It sounds like you're running a street gang or something. Hey, old no neck Navarro. You know no neck Navarro? It's like Happy Days. Like Fonzie would be like, he'd be like, I got a date with No Neck Navarro tonight. What about this?
Rest in peace, Gary.
Gary Carter.
Gary Carter, yeah, the kid.
Gary the kid is also gone.
Hall of Famer Gary Carter is dead.
Gary Marshall. The baseball player, the kid.
The kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
The kid.
Oh,
one of the only Mets in the Hall of Fame. There's only three of them.
Let me see if I can guess. Tom Seaver.
Mr. Met.
Jerry Koosman.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Right?
But did he go in as a Met?
Did he go in as a Met?
I don't know.
Totally over my head.
And then
I should know this.
Very recently, Head and Shoulders spokesperson Mike Piazza.
He went in, that's right.
Mikey Pizza.
Metal fan. Eddie Trunk's buddy, Mike Piazza.
Oh, yeah? They're buddies?
Are they buddies? Are you kidding?
Oh, I've never
heard. Are they buddies?
I've never heard Eddie talk about Mike.
Well, have you ever heard Eddie talk about anything then? Because
mostly Anthrax.
He talks about Mike Piazza as much as
Gene Simmons.
Rayman Zarek talked about Jim Morrison.
Oh, boy.
Mike, I'm typing in. Mike.
Other voices.
Piazza. E. D. D. I'm saying when it comes. Look, okay. Well, look, it didn't come up. Eddie Trunk. This is what comes up. EddieTrunk.com. His essay. Congratulations, MLB Hall of Famer Mike Piazza. It's rare that I post non-music related stuff here, but in a way, this is kind of music-related. I want to take a second to offer huge congratulations to my dear friend, Mike Piazza, on his induction into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. For longtime listeners of my radio shows, you know Mike and I have been close for a long time. Ever since around 1999, when he first dropped by my studio after a Mets game, we've been close friends. Back when Mike was living and playing in New York, he'd be a regular in the studio blasting metal with me.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Big metal fan, Mike Piazza. Yeah.
Well, speaking of carpool karaoke, you get Ron Darling, Keith Hernandez, Eddie Trunk, and Mike Piazza in a car.
And then what are we playing?
Chili Peppers.
We're playing, are you?
See, I took it back there.
How are you in business with the Red Hot Chili Peppers? You can't just throw that out.
Well, I've signed an NDA. I can't.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Fully disclosed.
It's definitely gotten to a point where people are posting any picture of Chili Peppers related anything and tagging Jay in it.
What are you doing, a Star Wars movie with him? You signed an NDA?
We've got big things ahead in 2017. I don't want to.
Jay just got an asterisk tattooed on his lower back. The chili pepper one.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, I knew what it was. Don't worry.
I didn't know I didn't know it was an asterisk. How do you asterisk?
Asterisk.
Asterisk.
So, what about this? If this is my thing, car wash karaoke.
Ah.
And you have to do a song. on the back of a pickup truck going through a car wash.
Oh, Dazed and Confused style.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
They sizzle like bacon, then you get air raid, then you get dragged into the car wash. So, but if you're on the back of the car wash, right, back is like rolling in, and you're going into the car wash, and you're like singing, oh, I don't know, like Everything by Michelle Branch or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
What? If you're doing well, do you get to like hop off before you're sucked in by the giant?
If you're doing well, this is how this will work. The judges,
okay. Yeah.
If you're not doing well, you get blasted by the hot wax and the undercoating, which would scald you.
Yeah, that's...
I pictured the, like, you know, the two giant brushes?
Uh-huh.
That sort of
yeah.
would, like, and... Mm-hmm. They would come together and right suck you in.
Right off the bat, I see a real insurance problem here.
Well, let's...
No, you sign a release.
Or you just take over an abandoned car wash.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. This is a non-union job.
Oh, yeah. You kidding me? Get the strike rat out front while we're trying to film car wash karaoke. Car wash karaoke, non-union.
Well, don't film it in Brooklyn. That's all I can say.
Don't film car wash karaoke in Brooklyn?
No, as a longtime resident, it's going to be a bad idea.
You don't think? What if we did it at Charles Oakley's car wash?
I was going to bring up Charles Oakley's car wash, because you do a lot on your show.
Charles Oakley played for the New York Knicks in the 90s.
I know that guy.
Okay. Making sure.
There.
He played for the Knicks in the 1990s, and he opened up a car wash, which is just still going in New York. Charles Oakley's Car Wash.
Where is it? Is it next to Walt Frazier's Steakhouse on the west side?
Walt Frazier's Wine and Dine?
Yes.
Which I ate at.
Wow.
What'd you have?
I had the salmon. It was, this is what happened there. The sweet friend of mine, Jake, not Jake from State Farm, not that.
Jake F?
No, Jake. No, not that.
Oh, right. Sports. So not yeah. Jake F.
Yeah. Why am I saying Jake? It's Josh.
Ah, there you go.
Wait, no, what is it?
You're
it's Jake.
Very,
no,
you're
I
very
was right.
Close
it's
Jake. Friend.
I know a guy named Josh.
Your best friend, Jake.
I know a guy with the same last name. There's a Josh and a Jake with the same.
Tom,
this is Jake.
Can yeah, I interrupt real
Jake.
Quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can my lovely wife Megan Flew?
Of course.
Come in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jay. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Megan, could you come in here, please?
Because Jay's married.
I think that is Tom prepared for this.
Wait, what is this going to be?
Oh boy.
I don't know this. This is a little, are you about to tag team Tom?
I'm not, absolutely not. Just, you know, just wanted her to come in and hang out with
yes,
us.
Yes, of course.
That's
she
all.
She can come in, of course.
All right. But I that's all I wanted to say. I threw you off your train look, there. Is it Jake or is it Josh?
It's Jake. Look, I get it. You don't want her out there with these guys, right?
I'm a little nervous.
Mike's weird. Is it Mike? Who are you most worried about? Look,
I don't know. He was Google imaging searching something. I don't know. It was kind of freaking me out a little bit.
He does these things. He'll say a thing when he thinks he's like being universal. He'll be like, "Yeah," and then you ever go to the thing and you're like, "Mike, that's." That's a party of one right now talking. He'll be like, "You ever drop a sandwich on like the grating of like a sewer, and then like it's hot and it leaves griddle marks on it, and then you flip it over so it looks like Mike, you're alone with this right now." So, my friend Jake.
Yep.
Sweetly gets me a gift certificate to eat at Walt Frazier's Wine and Dine.
Who you had already met through Papa Roach.
I've met Walt Frazier two times in my life. Once as a child.
So have that, I.
Judy?
I've met Walt Frazier.
Yeah, I've met him twice.
I met him at Kutcher's.
And
I went
what?
To that basketball thing at Kutcher's years ago.
Okay, what's every that year? Now?
Oh, you don't know about this?
Oh, the attitude. Jeepers, creepers.
There, every year there's this basketball benefit at Kutcher's, which I think closed.
Okay.
Now. It was all like right. a, you know, Borscht Belt.
Okay, sure. Okay, hotel. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, so it's like in the.
They have these insane.
It's the Catskills?
Yeah, and like the.
Not the Borscht Belt. It's called the Catskills.
No, it's. Tom, it's the Borscht Belt.
If you're booking comedians, we're not booking.
Look.
Unless Walt Frazier's doing stand up.
Shecky Green opened up for Walt Frazier.
Did he really? That would be an amazing. Wait,
okay, no.
All right. Let's stay on point. So okay, you went to Kutcher's.
Every year, Kutcher's.
How long ago was this?
It's now that I'm telling the story, I'm realizing who was that maybe it was a really long time ago.
Who was president? George Bush won.
It might have been Bush 1.
Okay, Bush 1.
It was possibly in the late 90s.
So you're at, well, then he wasn't president then.
That's tricky, tricky Bill.
What's so you're, oh. you're at Kutcher's. You're at Kutcher's.
They used to have this thing every year where they had this benefit that was for, like, kids, inner city kids or something. But the who's who of basketball would be at the benefit every year.
Okay.
Like crazy people.
Sure.
So I got to go once, and I fully, like, got to sit down and hang out with Walt Frazier for a sec.
He's a
it was
nice
incredible.
Guy. He's a very nice guy.
And I met him another time at a book signing. Does that count?
So you've met him twice, too.
Does that count?
Oh, boy.
If you meet someone at a book signing, does that count?
That's one and a half times you've met him.
All right. I'm close.
I went to this. So my young friend Jake got me this gift certificate to eat at Walt Frazier's Clyde's Wine and Dine. And it was a nice, it was after my father died. He was like, you need to go do something nice. And so I went, and then I didn't get to use it until like, I was like, oh no, I didn't use that thing. And then like I went to go use it, and then the guy's like, this expired.
Oh no.
Wait, and was then, anyone else in the restaurant? I'm really asking.
Was Walt in the restaurant?
It's we were, not because it's a bad restaurant, because the location is in but like a desert
it's,
area
it's like
of 36th
and 10th. It's like
there's
it's
nothing
like a weird,
there.
That's Daredevil country.
There's absolutely nothing there.
Yes.
It's on a
Daredevil
highway.
Was there. Luke Cage
it's
was
an
eating
empty,
there.
It's a lonely,
Jessica Jones.
Lonely stretch of highway.
Yeah. It's perfect if you're coming from a Knicks game.
Or
the Lincoln
the
Tunnel.
Center.
If you're looking, it's either for the Javits Center. If you think that's the Lincoln Tunnel and you actually
and you
drive
made a
into
turn,
it.
And you made a wrong turn.
Yeah.
It's a very New York-centric episode of The Best Show.
It really, look, it's I just like this is one for my people of New York. Right?
Judy and I
are bringing the heat.
Judy, Meg, and I are very puffed up because Jeremy Lin has decided to take his talents to Brooklyn. So, you know, we're looking forward to the.
Sure, yeah, let me know how that works
out. Didn't
he
start
be...
to fail in, like, halfway through
Well,
the
he's
season?
Patented Brooke Lynn, like Brooke-Lynn, like Jeremy
Good.
Lynn.
Well, so. You know what he should patent is
Thank you,
being able to penetrate with either hand is yeah. one thing he should. Instead of him working hard on all these patents, he should be able to drive to the left and the right.
He works hard on that hair.
Yes. He should work hard on also dribbling a basketball. Two, that might be beneficial at some point if he...
Not
so,
in New York. It's
what?
Pointless.
It's pointless
you gotta,
what?
You just got to look good.
It's pointless. It's funny that you say that because the play on words would be that New York is so point guard. He's in New York. New York is pointless right now.
We always steer towards sports when we come on. I like it.
So the guy's like, this expired.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm just like, okay, that's fine. I said, you can't use it. He's like, no, you took too long to come and use it. And then I was like, okay, that's fine. Just very disappointed. I just said, I'm very disappointed. And I didn't yell. And I was eating with my friend Hayes Davenport.
Hey, Hayes.
From Hollywood Handbook. Do you ever hear that? That show, Judy?
Yes.
Right. So me and Hayes are eating there. And then I said to the guy came over the table and he's just like, again, I can't use the thing. I can't take it. And I was like, okay, I'm just very disappointed.
I'm imagining you there at like 4:45.
Yeah, we were.
Early
you,
bird.
You have this nailed. There were
and the thing is, you can't just leave and walk somewhere else and go eat. Because
oh, we had ordered already. We had
nothing
the food.
Around.
So then this gets
it's like
this.
The only part of New York.
But get this like though, Judy.
I'm listening.
Get ready for this.
I'm prepared.
I said to him, I didn't raise my voice. I just said, I'm just very disappointed. Then, 5 minutes later, he comes back up to the table and he goes, he's like, if you give me the thing, I'll use it. I can put the thing through.
Oh, so, nice.
Then what do? I slap down an enormous tip. Not that I'm patting myself on the back.
Were you holding for applause?
I was about to.
When you do this show, look, I'm not looking for your applause or your applause. Right now,
you're implying
thousands of
you're
people
implying.
Are cheering right now.
Yeah, of course.
I know the people at home are applauding because I tipped. So I ain't no cheapskate. I'm not cheap. And Megan had enough.
Too sports centric.
She's just like, I'm going to walk.
I like attempting to add my two cents when you talk sports because I have these weird anecdotes that are only gathered through like my total lack of knowledge.
Like the time you saw Lawrence Taylor buying drugs at like eight in the morning
really
in
Manhattan.
Allegedly.
Fully happened.
Allegedly.
Fully happened.
Look.
It was... Can I just tell us?
Well, I'm just going to say first. I'm going to say first of all. Yeah, look, of course you can tell.
It
but
was
I'm just going to first
amazing.
Of all.
Amazing.
I have no idea if you're making this up. I
absolutely
don't know.
Not.
Okay.
Totally true story.
But you have to realize I can't just. I have to say allegedly.
Let's say this. Let's say he wasn't buying drugs. Okay. Let's just say he was hanging out on the corner of 34th and 8th Avenue.
Oh, very close
he's
to
only
the restaurant.
Two blocks. He should have just walked two up and two over. Could have got himself.
He had just finished his dinner.
He just lost by Frazier's.
Yeah. You better believe his gift certificate would have been honored.
And I would say this. Thank you, Jake, for your generosity. You're a sweetheart. And I love you. See? I can say that.
Wow.
Not scared.
Open heart.
Not scared of love.
Open hearts, open
trust,
minds.
That's a trust fall.
What is that? A Jared? It sounds like a Jared commercial over there. Open hearts, open minds. What are you going to sell me? A chocolate diamond or something? Whatever those things are. What's a chocolate? Like, how did that enter the thing? A chocolate diamond. Like, right? Is it chocolate gold or chocolate diamond?
I'm gonna
chocolate
say that.
Gold would be like gelt.
White
would
gold.
Be chocolate
yeah,
gold.
Gelt. Yeah. But see, my mind immediately went to Jared from Subway. When you
that's
said
what I thought.
Jared
and I was like,
yeah.
that's, we don't want
to
talk about
now, Judy that. Rosen, I wanted to say, super talented woman.
It's true.
Fashion designer. She makes these jeans. She's made
fashion.
Them. Judy Rosen, what's the name of the company? Judy Rosen NY, right?
No.
Just Judy Rosen Incorporated?
Yes.
Judy
LLC.
Rosen. Judy Rosen
Incorporated LLC.
And it's these jeans.
Spider.
You've been making them, and you have another batch coming out?
Yes, I do, actually.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Secret
I
batch.
I pay attention.
I'm making a secret batch for fall.
Of these jeans.
I'm announcing it tonight. Everybody listen.
I'm going to say.
I haven't told anybody yet.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. First of all.
Yes.
The Venn diagram might be a little off on this one. This might not be the target audience. If you were to announce that tonight you were going to make a new Wolverine t-shirt, you would have hit a bullseye.
Weapon X. Look out.
But
Judy, you have a lot of gamers.
Gamers? Well, look, listen. Judy makes these jeans. Judy Rosen. Rosen.
Well, that's good.
And they're super attractive. Lady flattering jeans, right? Is that a nice way of putting it?
That's what the boys tell me.
Oh, I don't like that voice.
I like that.
What, you did?
I like that.
You did like it.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a split in the room on that one.
I have a little sweat.
It was Carson-esque.
When can people get these jeans?
The jeans will be ready in September.
Okay.
Get ready.
That's like exciting. 3.5 weeks.
It's very close. I have not slept out of anxiety in several days.
Oh, I know what that's like.
It's awful. It's awful.
I don't sleep no more. I don't sleep. I don't sleep.
You have your own.
Oh yeah.
Issues.
Oh, I know I do. Look. Oh. So you're outside the Lincoln Tunnel. Where are you
hanging
now?
Out at Walt Clyde Frazier's. Weirdly, I have to pass there on occasion.
Okay.
And it's so dismal. And I think Walt Clyde Frazier is so fantastic.
Yeah.
I have his. Have you ever seen his book that he put out in the 70s?
Rockin' Steady.
Oh my God.
Of course
God.
I have.
That book is
I have three different editions of it.
It
I
is
the original,
awesome.
Original. I have an original that he signed for me. I have the paperback for I could carry around with me. And then I have the reissue of it.
Where
they
you get,
republished it.
You reference it for your style.
Travel copy.
I do, because you've seen my leopard skin Rolls Royce that
bed.
I drive over. Yeah, there's a picture of him in his underwear.
On a round bed.
Laying on a round bed that has
like
leopard
mirrors.
Skin print, and mirrors are around it and above
really.
It. It seems like... Mm. Like, what are you, opening a carnival in here? So, Judy Rosen.
Tom Sharpling.
All right. Well, first of all, and Jay Penry.
Hey.
My friend Jay.
Hey.
Jay is a super talented artist.
Thanks.
One of the things Jay does is he draws things for bands like War on Drugs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And... He does Animule pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story we've told before, but I'm going to tell it again.
Please do.
Jay sent me, this is before I knew Jay. I get in
I
the
know
mail.
This story.
What's that?
I know this story. Yeah. It's really sweet.
It is sweet. That's why I'm telling it.
Why are you ruining the story?
Yeah, sorry, it's not as sweet as your. Whatever weird Lawrence Taylor story you're climbing up the wall to tell. You can't wait. Yeah.
I've got cat scratch fever right here.
So. Jay sends, I open an envelope. This is probably 2005?
Yeah, maybe 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Open an envelope. There's a picture of my great dog, Dogmo, painted by this guy, Jay. And Dogmo in the thing, in the picture, is wearing a cowboy hat. Now, the funny thing is, when we went, me and my wife, Terry, T, went and went to an animal shelter, and we're like looking for a dog. And we were looking at this, like, local flyer thing, and they had a picture of a dog. And they said, check this dog out. And the dog was wearing a hat in the picture, in the flyer. That turned out to be our dog. How would you ever put a hat on the dog? And the picture we had was the hat, and Jay didn't know that picture. It was just meant to be. Nope. And now I have that picture framed. I look at it every day.
I think it's called Serendipity.
It is, right?
Yeah, it's a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow.
It's like...
Oh, Gwynny.
Stranger Things! Did you watch Stranger Things?
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to say this.
I'm behind on Bloodlines.
Watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Let's not ruin any of it for
anybody. Not going to ruin it any for it, but Judy, you might as well not even bother.
What?
Every like cinephile like genre
oh, I'm gonna,
film
I'm gonna
nerd
pick it
that
apart.
I,
I'm gonna pick
they're
it
gonna,
apart.
You're gonna hate it.
I get angry even if I listen to a podcast and someone doesn't reference a movie
right.
properly.
Mm-hmm. You get mad when people don't know what cruising is.
Yes, unacceptable.
Like that's okay. Just 101.
Well, look, I watched this thing. I loved it. I loved Stranger Things.
Yeah?
I loved it.
That's a rare, yeah. This is a rare moment.
Yeah.
Where Tom just unadulterated, yeah. Straight up.
This kid in this thing.
You
I'm
love
not gonna
it.
Say two things about this one kid and this girl in it. It's like the best performance I've ever seen a kid ever do in anything ever.
She's very good.
That's like, it was spooky how good this kid was. This poor weird girl.
You know who turned me on to that show? My lovely wife who left
who
this,
wants nothing to do
left,
with
left
the
studio.
Radio show.
But I got to give all the credit to her. She was like, you got to watch this thing.
I watched it. And I loved it. I loved that kid. The weird girl was the best. Wasn't nuts about the one kid always yelling at her. Oh, I wanted to smash that kid. Logan. Not happy with you, Logan. That is not giving anything away. But I'm not happy with Logan.
That's not really a spoiler.
I'm trudging through Bloodlines right now, and it's a little brutal.
If you're trudging through anything, what are you on the clock?
I like
the
first season so much.
Okay.
It's so good. The ghost of Ben Mendelsohn.
This is all I like now. These are the things I like. I like, I don't know, I didn't watch Bloodlines.
Really? Oh my god, it was so good.
Okay,
but second season,
it's sort of
it
like
sounds
Nor.
Great. You're trudging through
Smoothies
it now.
Bills.
It's sort of like Jimmy Buffett wrote a Shakespearean tragedy.
Yes, exactly. That's nailed it.
That sounds good, right, Tom?
Way,
it's like Jimmy Buffett writing a Shakespearean tragedy. Yeah, that.
Who doesn't want to?
Well, he's
that?
A writer.
He is.
He's on tour
Pirate,
right now.
Pirate Looks Back at 40.
Yeah, he's from my hometown. That's why I always bring him up.
Did you know that Jimmy Buffett has his own strain of marijuana now?
Judy, I know everything about Jimmy Buffett.
I know. I was throwing him a bone.
So, Lawrence Taylor allegedly.
Okay,
Judy allegedly sees right. Lawrence Taylor.
True story. Uh-huh. Very, very true story. And I'm going to say this because you're right. Let's pretend he wasn't.
Uh-huh.
There was no drugs involved. Okay? It's still a good story.
Okay.
I'm on 34th and East. This is like,
or there are drugs involved and maybe it's not him.
No, it's
okay.
Okay, well, there's another 7
you
foot
understand
tall
how this works, right?
Trench coated.
You like, understand how like
hold on.
How I'm on the
he
hook
was
for
in
people.
His gear. He was in.
Was he wearing his football uniform?
No.
His gear. That's
no.
What his gear is.
He's in his LT gear. He's got his
was
like.
Big tuna with
he's
him too?
He's got like he's in an acid wash denim maxi coat.
Oh boy. Like a duster?
Duster.
Because you told me this story once and he was wearing a floor length fur coat.
No. Never said so fur. Okay. I would say maybe I would exaggerate and say it was leather, but I could also exaggerate and say it was
okay, so
denim acid
now
wash.
Now it's an acid wash duster. Okay.
So he's wearing an acid wash duster.
Right there. Unmistakable.
Mm-hmm.
It's LT.
Is this 1994?
Then, yeah, it's definitely early 90s.
Okay. He was a giant.
He still has... He has this dangly little LT earring that looks like a...
Oh, boy.
It looks like a, you know, little mm-hmm. lightning bolt.
Okay, yeah.
That says LT. And I walk up, and I'm just... I stood there, and it was like the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. which wasn't out yet.
Everything fell away. Everything.
Which I don't think you had seen at that point.
Judy has a time machine
LT,
in the story.
I see LT doing his quote-unquote business, whatever that might mm-hmm. be.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, because it's LT.
Right.
And really, the whole world fell away. I stood there watching him, and I looked around,
okay.
And I said, no one else sees this? No one else sees LT on the corner of 34th mm-hmm. and 8th? But me, this weirdo, semi-hippie reject.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, I shouldn't know who LT is, but
so
I
no
do.
One, so no one saw
no
this.
No one noticed him, but
it
me.
It might not have happened.
No, yeah. It totally
I think you need
happened.
To watch Stranger Things. You might want to option your life story for season 2.
Yeah. Matthew Modine show up in this story?
Yeah, exactly.
That was another day. That was another
white-haired
day.
White-haired Matthew Modine.
Jim Jarmusch-haired Matthew yeah. Modine.
Yeah.
I have a story about him, too. But
uh-oh. I got a story about Matthew Modine.
Well, so that's your LT story.
I watched them buy crack on the corner of 34th and 8th.
Wow.
Mike?
Truth.
What do you think about that story? Mike likes it.
Because there used to be, there's this ramp, and there would be a line of people buying whatever they were, you know, product.
Sure.
K2. Mm-hmm.
Today there it's K2. Ramp. Yesterday it was, yeah.
Tell me more about this ramp. So, we have Jay Penry and Judy Rosen here.
Hey, everybody.
We used to have Megan Pflug, who is now walking through the path tunnels,
yeah, she
trying to do anything to get back to New York City.
Maybe LT can give her a ride.
So I'm doing this thing, the order of everything, right? These are some of the ones from when we did it a million years ago. Number one, geese crossing the street, and then they stop. Cars have to stop to let, like, geese cross the street. Like, that's... Have you ever been in that moment? It's the best ever when you're in a car and all the traffic has to stop and everybody has to wait for these dumb geese who are taking their time to go as slow. And they've got wings. They've got wings, but we're waiting for them to walk the thing that they're not as good at as when they fly. So that still might top the list. Finding unexpected... Number two, adopting an old animal. That's good. Seeing a dog in the driver's seat of an empty car.
Always good.
That's
great.
Always good, right?
Great.
When you see a dog. People watching a camping movie while camping. I don't understand that one. That one sounds... That's an inherent...
And I remember that call. I remember the guy making the case for that.
Bill Belichick's post-Super Bowl press conference. I'm crossing that. That's dated.
In the lucky sweatshirt.
That must have been... Getting blown away by an opening band. It's good.
Skynyrd and the Who.
Yeah.
Say Skynyrd used to blow Who off the stage. Mm-hmm. Well, according to the people that I grew up around.
Yeah. Like when I saw Ministry open for Madness.
Look out.
What pier was it again? Pier 34?
I'm trying to understand that lineup.
Well, I have to assume that Ministry was playing With Sympathy material.
Yes, they were.
Of course.
The full Arista. I ain't got time for what you need.
And apparently Clive Davis wrote those songs.
Al
Jorgensen won't even own up to writing them. He says that Clive Davis called him and sung what he wanted him to sing into the phone. And that's what ended up being With Sympathy.
So he wrote. Wow.
That's awesome.
Read Al Jorgensen's book, everybody. If I can recommend one thing here tonight...
Hugging a lion, cub, panda, koala, or chimp. Crossing that off.
No,
it's a wide swath.
Seeing a movie at a drive-in, no.
I've done that. Saw Crystal Skull, the Indiana Jones, at a drive-in. On my honeymoon.
Really?
Yeah. Couldn't hear anything, though. You know, little tin can.
Yeah.
Things are sticking there.
That's the one with Shia LaBeouf.
Mm-hmm. Till and...
P90X.
Blanchette.
Crossing that off. Yeah, and Blanchette was in that. Black jeans came in at number 15. Judy, you're a jeans expert.
I like indigo better.
We're crossing black jeans off.
Wow.
Blue jeans came in at 17. Wait, lower than black
up.
Jeans.
Thumbs up.
Arrogant cop trying to cut through BQE traffic. I'm pretty sure that was me. That cop who, I think that's cop actually is like, in. I think this cop shot someone. The cop who yelled at me.
Are you serious?
About 4 years ago. I think he shot someone who was like pulled me over on the BQE. Like he was cutting me off on the BQE. And then like I went like, I threw my arms. And he cut his car in front of me and got out and went into the window, started screaming at me.
I remember this.
He was in an unmarked car. He was screaming.
I got arrested for doing that once.
Thrown
in the pen.
You got thrown into the pen for...
I was
talking to the microphone.
I was
your head drifts over to the right. And
I'm
to the
getting
left.
Nervous.
You've been in here for 40 minutes. Why are you getting nervous now?
You weren't nervous, and you were defaming Lawrence Taylor of the New York Giants.
Because that was a true story. This one maybe is exaggerated a little.
So you got arrested.
I mouthed off to a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Came up, put my hands behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
Put handcuffs on me. Mm-hmm. I said, officer, officer.
I would have arrested you,
Why are you
too.
Arresting me? And he said, you got a big mouth.
That's what he
and
said
then I got thrown in the pen. Lady.
He said, you got a big mouth, lady.
No, a lady cop.
A lady cop
me.
Said you got a big mouth.
Yeah.
And what were you
that
mouthing
was the
off
charge.
Why were you mouthing
that was the charge.
Off?
Allegedly.
Sorry, I don't okay. want to besmirch you either. I'm affording you the same latitude I was affording LT. So...
I was on the back of a motorcycle.
This is already you're okay. guilty.
You're we were
I'm
pulling.
With the lady cop. I'm we siding with pulling. The lady cop. You're on the back of a motorcycle.
No. We were pulling out of a parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and this van goes screeching by mm-hmm. and was, like, not paying attention to us. Like, we were first, okay. and this van goes screeching by. I was uh-huh. like, hey, you blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blahs.
Yeah, yeah. uh-huh. Yeah.
And then it turned out to be undercover cops in a van.
In the van.
And this lady cop jumps out and she's like, hey, mm-hmm. who you think you're talking to, young lady?
Uh-huh.
And then that was, you know, I already told the other part of the story.
Can I ask if Wesley Snipes was driving the motorcycle?
Oh.
Because I know you guys are friends.
My buddy Wesley Snipes? Yeah. I used to go to keggers at his house. They were pretty fun.
In the Blade years, yeah, true.
West Side.
In the Blade years?
West Side.
Blade, which Blade movie? Blade 1, 2, or 3?
I'm
going
to say 2.
Blade Trinity.
Trilogy.
Who was president during Blade 2?
George
was
W.
It
Bush. I think it was George W. Bush.
Probably.
So it was Blade 3.
So Blade 3.
Okay.
Blade Trilogy.
Patton Oswalt.
No. Blade Trinity, yes. Patton Oswalt was in the third Blade movie. So you know, who was in all three of those movies was Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah. Sunday Morning Coming Down.
Yeah, he played Whistler.
Really?
Yeah, he throws mm-hmm. Blade his sunglasses.
And he would say, use this. There's a thing, I got this Kris Kristofferson box set of all these Kris Kristofferson albums. And on that first album, those albums are so great. The first one, he does this talking intro where his voice is so bassy. You cannot understand. He's like, it's literally like, but I just want to say it.
Wait, Chris recorded it now.
No, this is the album that had the Sunday Morning Coming Down.
This is like 69?
Yeah. So
70?
he's like,
wow.
But the thing with Johnny and June. He mentions Johnny and June. Okay. Heard that. I picked out the name Johnny, and then I heard June after it, but he's like, I met a guy. That dude, why can't I be talented like that? I have no talent.
He's very handsome.
He's a very right place at the right time type of guy, though.
He's handsome.
He was like super handsome.
Yeah, he was.
Super handsome.
Was like an army helicopter guy.
Mm-hmm.
Was like a Rhodes Scholar.
Yep.
And
wrote these songs.
Yep.
And then could act also.
Me and Bobby McGee.
Yeah.
Hey, it was good.
That song.
Meanwhile, I'm here writing my Pokemon songs. Trying to write Pokemon songs to pulp. I'm here trying to beg Richard Dreyfuss to call up.
I
heard he did.
Wait a minute. Richard did call. You chose to hang up on him.
If that was Richard Dreyfuss, I will get a hat, wear the hat, then eat the hat.
Ah.
Can you wear a hat? Jay wears a hat. It's great. Jay's a great baseball cap wearer.
Oh, man.
Like a red baseball cap.
Quite a collection.
You better believe it.
You picture Jay with like a red cap on. He pulls it off.
Yeah.
Judy, can you wear hats?
Like Tom Hanks.
No, I look horrible in hats.
I can't wear hats.
I like to wear them backwards when I arm wrestle.
So what should be on this thing? Okay, I'm
Jay tends to have... He usually wears his hats backwards and then his wraparound Oakleys on the front of it.
Yeah, you know me. Well, gargoyles. Because I wear the Bloodline version.
Oh.
Gargoyles.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that's from...
What should I do with this sausage party thing? The thing's up to $900 to get me to see the movie Sausage
Party. What was your goal?
I said I'd see it for $800, and they could film me watching it for $1,500.
LaBeouf style.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you got to go see it now.
Right now it's at $910.
Hmm.
to go see this movie. Okay, first what's of all, I can't called? Keep the money. It's gross if I keep the money.
Can't keep it. Got to see Sausage Party.
I'll give the money to some charity.
I think that's going to be really tough to sit through.
Yeah, it makes me nauseous. Yeah. The idea of these talking hot dogs getting slashed.
The posters are very phallic. It's and they're like well, for kids. No,
but it's not for kids.
No, it's rated R.
It's rated R. They keep saying
it's like Fritz,
rated R.
Like Fritz the cat.
Oh, yeah. That's so depressing.
Adults only.
Which my grandparents walked into a screening of Fritz the Cat. They had no idea. They hadn't been to the movies in probably like 15 years.
I thought it was Felix the Cat.
They probably thought it was Felix the Cat. And they were just like, there's a kid, the cat thing is happening. Let's go see. We haven't been to the movies not even The Sting. It would be like, we haven't been to the movies since Funny Girl. And then they go in.
Splinter in the Grass. Yeah,
and then they go in. Let's get two for Fritz the Cat. And then they go in and it was like, then they just were like, yeah, I don't know what happened to Felix the Cat. Something clearly happened to him.
It sounds like Alan Funt would have done that for a Candid Camera episode.
Would have switched Felix the Cat and Fritz the Cat.
Gotten seniors to walk into a dirty movie.
I had an amazing... I just flew the other day recently. And it was a very long flight. It was like 8 hours. And I was sitting next to a octogenarian couple. Mm-hmm. They couldn't really figure out their headgear. They were talking really, really loud while they were watching movies.
Yeah.
And they were watching... it's some movie with the English girl with the bleached hair.
The English girl with the bleached hair.
Who's a comedian.
Juno Temple.
Who's like, and it's like how to date somebody.
Rebel Wilson.
No.
She's Australian.
Oh, yeah, her. Okay.
Okay, Rebel Wilson.
So, I hope I can say this word. But the 80-year-old people.
Yeah, you're going to say it anyway.
Who couldn't navigate their headphones. Like, the stewardess would come up and be like, would you like some water? What are you saying? Would you like some water? What are you saying? And I would just stare at this woman and be like, duh, take your headphones off. And all of a sudden, her husband, during this movie with Rebel Wilson, turns to her and he says, is that semen? Really loud. Okay. Over and over again.
Over and over again.
This really happened. Not an exaggerated story at all.
Oh, I know. I believe it.
Oh, boy.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Hey, Tom, that's comedy.
Oh, thank you for the lesson. Who
dumb.
Liked... I'm going to play a quick song by this band, Sweet Knives, which we talked to Alicia earlier. And they are on tour. Go to their Facebook page and find out more on Sweet Knives. Here's something from their upcoming double 7-inch song called I Don't Wanna See. It's a really good record. People gotta check it out. Facebook. What is it? .com/sweetknives. It's so good. I like it a lot. The phone number 201-332-3484. All right. Going to the phones. Best show.
What up, douche? D-plop in his house.
Okay, great. Hi, Darren.
I can still say his house, right? I mean, is there something newer that people are saying in lieu of house or dwelling?
Something new? Something newer than house?
Yeah, like, I want to be current. Like people are in condos now, would it be the condos? That's unwieldy.
I think you're going down the wrong road.
I'll stick with his house in the future.
Yeah, you probably want to just trust his house.
See, so I was right. My gut instincts are usually right.
Mm-hmm. Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. Your gut instincts were right again, Darren.
Yep.
Oh, this is Darren. This is Darren, a guy I work with over at Consolidated Cardboard.
What a weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah. That is an understatement.
Right.
And for people who don't, you know, well, obviously people don't know, but I said we work together. This past weekend was the annual Consolidated Cardboard Petition the Gods for Excellence retreat. Which is,
I always look forward to it, and I always come away from it just, you know, invigorating. You know, just, I just love it. I feel great. And so many amazing things at this one this year, huh?
Yeah, at the corporate retreat, there's these trust-building exercises that are always pretty intense and kind of inspiring.
Like, I loved it.
The human pinata is a big one.
That's my favorite, yeah.
You like that?
I did, yeah. Mm. We're like a worker's blindfolded, and they swing a bat at a pinata, and it's filled with all these goodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then the person who hits the pinata, they're told that there's another pinata also behind that one with even more stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there isn't. Just a group of these older people at a picnic table eating their breakfast. So the blindfolded person has to keep swinging the bat, and the old-timers just have to stay out of the way.
Yeah, I kind of... What do you think makes that... Why would they call that a trust-building exercise?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I didn't think about it. I guess it's, you know, you have to trust that if you get hit by the bat, your head's going to get caved in or explode.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I guess that's a pretty liberal definition of trust.
Yeah.
What other ones are there that are pretty...
I liked, what's it, that thing, the key to your raise exercise. That was fun.
Yeah, the key to your raise, which is like a pie-eating contest.
I loved it. There's a key in one of the pies that opens a lockbox at the main Consolidated Cardboard office. And inside the box is a coupon that gives the employee a $50 a month raise. Mm-hmm. But there's also a key to a lockbox that has a piece of paper inside that says, "You just got S-canned." And the person gets fired if they open that box.
I feel like that one's kind of cruel.
Well, you know, like they say, welcome to the world of big cardboard, right?
Yeah, I guess, is that what they say?
I've heard it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it was a pretty exciting weekend. I'm trying to think of other highlights.
Ooh, I loved those trust shrinking exercises, like believe nothing. That was fun. It wasn't fun. It was something.
Yeah, I mean that was like the one that almost did me in.
You're telling me. It was bad enough being in that darkened theater for 16 hours, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But when those voices came on from every angle telling every worker in the room that they're going to be caught for stealing and that the company's actually going under and the Consolidated isn't really a cardboard company but a front for an offshore money laundering scheme, and that someone's been murdered in the break room, and that they're the prime suspect. Oh, my God, it reduced everybody to a pile of goo. I think some people actually died during it.
I heard someone say something about that. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It might have been Craig.
Yeah, it's really intense, because the voices, it's like they are coming from literally, when you say every angle, it's like they're surrounding, like they're above you and below you, and
it was like 5.1.
Yeah, it is really like 5.1.
Yeah.
Wow. What a crazy corporate retreat.
Oh man, but wasn't Katrina Starr incredible?
Well, I don't
I will tell you this. old man Dalrymple could not have picked a better motivational speaker to get us fired up for the next quarter. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's like a tattooed female Criss Angel meets a punk rock Tony Robbins on performance-enhancing drugs or something, right?
Okay.
And those tricks she was doing, they were insane. She's like a hot punk sorceress, if you ask me.
Well, you know, I mean, she's something else. She's something else.
I tell you, man, you could just really feel the energy change when she took the stage, right?
Yep.
I mean, I certainly felt it. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I certainly did.
Yeah. Darren, I think we all noticed you noticing it. It's like she shot a tractor beam at you from the stage and you were caught in it. And it actually drew you up to the stage.
Well, she did pick me to be the person to help her with that fire-eating demonstration.
Uh-huh. Well, that might have something to do with you pretty much, like, you were, like, pretty much laying at her feet with that, like, weird glazed-over expression.
No, yeah. Man, I just wanted to get a better look, that's all.
Oh, okay, Darren. Okay.
You know, Katrina and I hung out all Sunday night.
So you hung out with the motivational magician. Okay.
Yeah. Look, and I don't know if you noticed it, but I wasn't at work today or yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I did notice you were not in the office.
Yeah, you see, Katrina had a couple days off before her next gig in Vegas, and she decided to stay in Newbridge. We've been holed up in her suite at the Newbridge Trump Half Tower since Sunday, Tom.
That's terrible. Gross.
We pretty much stayed in bed and watched Roast Battle all weekend. Please tell me you've seen this thing.
I did not watch Roast Battle.
Oh, my God. You have to see it. I'll tell you, the roasting was good. But the best part?
Yeah.
Was this thing called The Wave.
What is The Wave?
Well, you know the comedian Carrot Top, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know the prop comic Carrot Top, sure.
Well, picture three Carrot Tops who come on stage after each zinger and do the most hilarious prop-driven micro-sketches imaginable.
Ugh.
Sounds great, right?
No, that sounds horrendous.
One of them shirtless the entire time.
Oh, okay. Well, now it's getting worse.
Oh, it's great. They pretend one guy pretends to give birth to the other guy, and they hold up a cool sign that says something like, I'm with her.
Oh, that's...
So it's timely.
That sounds awful.
Ugh. But look, anyway,
funny? You find that funny?
I love it. Yeah, it's great. I'm surprised you don't love the description of it.
Mm-hmm.
No, knowing what I know about you and your love of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, not for me.
I mean, how far is that from, I'm trying to think of some other people you like, what's his name, Todd Barry?
That's pretty far from what Todd Barry does. Three Carrot Tops on stage doing what you call micro sketches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much as far away from Todd Barry as it gets.
Well, I guess we can beg to differ on that all nighty night night.
We sure can.
Yep. But, you know, I said we watched the show earlier, and, you know, we didn't really watch it, you know, but we... what we were up to between those black silken sheets.
Uh-huh.
That's got to be illegal in at least 8 states and or territories.
What? Darren.
What?
I don't need to hear any of this. And
be happy for me.
Can I just say something, and I mean this sincerely?
Yes.
Just be careful, okay? You know, it really sounds like you might be biting off a little more than you can chew with... Katrina Starr.
I was biting something, all right.
Stop. I hate that so much.
Well, it sounds like someone's a little jealous.
I'm not jealous at, look, I just know that Katrina stars like a very charismatic entertainer, and I know that's, like, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it. I know that's something you're attracted to.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. This is about Mary Lou Henner, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's about Mary Lou Henner.
Well, look, like the great Steve Sherbert sang, you cannot win if you do not play, right?
The great Steve Sherbert. Steve Forbert?
Steve Sherbert.
I believe it's Steve Forbert who said that, and you know, if you're talking about playing, you could not have played that night with Mary Lou Henner any worse than you did.
What are you talking about? She was in Newbridge doing her one-woman show. We were both single at the time. I showed up at her hotel room with gelato and whiskey. What's so wrong about that?
Well, it's very wrong. It's very, especially when you consider that you were about to get married the next morning.
Hey, things were different in the mid-2000s, and you know it. But the thing that has always perplexed me is, you know, I still don't get why she didn't answer that door at 2 a.m., you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I could tell she was looking at that peephole.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she had to recognize me as the guy who was blowing those kisses at her all night from the front row during her show.
This is like harassment and stalking, and of course she didn't open the door. But look, that aside, I don't want to see you get hurt by this. It's like Katrina Starr's like a larger than life character, and I don't know her well, but I could picture she's her and you're you, and I could picture that she's got more than one Darren out there, like a Darren in every port, so to speak.
How dare you talk about my wife like that?
Wait, your wife?
We got married.
Oh. You got married to Katrina Starr, the motivational magician who performed at our corporate retreat 2 days ago, who you knew, you've known for at tops 2 days.
No, you nuptial dummy. We got married after knowing each other 3.5 days. Show us some respect.
Okay, well, 2.5, I'm sorry, the difference between 2 and 3.5. That I'm, you know, Darren, I've known you a long time, and this sounds like another classic Darren Ploppleton bad decision.
What are you talking about? I make great decisions. You know, this kind of logic and critical thinking runs in my family, too.
To make great decisions?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Take, for instance, my grandfather, Antoine Ploppleton. He was so sure that in World War II, Canada was going to join the Axis forces, that he invested his entire life savings in a maple syrup called Mrs. Nazi Worth's.
Mrs. Nazi Worth's syrup.
Yes, yeah, uh-huh. Sounds lucrative, right?
Well, what happened to your uncle?
Well, he was tried and flagrantly convicted of flagrant treason.
Your grandfather was tried?
Yes.
And convicted?
Flagrantly convicted.
Flagrantly convicted?
Yes.
Of?
Flagrant treason.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. So that's one example of...
That's one. I'll give you another one. Oh, there was my uncle, Stu Ploppleton.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was so sure that baseball was going to merge with football and create this super sport called foot-based football.
Foot-base football.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great, doesn't it?
I want to hear more about this.
Well, he thought it was going to happen because this guy in a men's room told him it was going to happen. They were at a urinal together, and he was taking a squeege.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. And he took it really far. He designed uniforms that incorporated football helmets and those knee-high stirrup socks. Really cool.
Yeah.
And I think this merger could still happen.
Between football and baseball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And when those games occur, it's going to be off the chain.
Well, Darren, that is maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Maybe you're the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, maybe I am.
I think you are. And I'll tell you what.
What?
You think I'm one of these morons who calls your show and brags about how everything's going to go great and then it all goes horribly wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like that dummy from that band that played on Mount Everest, mm-hmm. or that moron from, what was it, Wawa Records? What's his name? Philly Boy Rex?
Philly Boy Roy.
I think it's Rex.
It's Roy. So you're not one of these morons.
No, no. And if you think I have anything in common with those losers,
yeah,
then we have no business being ultimate besties.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if I'd describe us as besties, for starters. But, hey, Darren, well, let's talk about the age difference here between you and Katrina.
Okay.
You're what, like 48?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how old is she, like 28?
No, you sick F. She'll be 30 in December.
Oh, okay. So you're still almost 20 years older than her.
What are you, the love police? Tom, this is what real love looks like in 2016, all right? Age differences don't mean anything. I mean, just look at the entertainment news every day. Just off the top of my head, you know, there's like Jerry Hall and Rupert Murdoch. That's a pretty substantial age difference. Doug Hutchison and his beloved Courtney Stodden.
Ugh, that's the most repellent thing ever.
Are you kidding me? They're our Jack and Jackie.
Hey, oh God! So that's our Camelot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Doug Hutchison and
well,
Courtney.
He's pretty much Doug Stodden now,
yeah,
right?
I guess so yeah. So, all right.
Oh, and, you know, to name a couple others, you know, Leo DiCaprio and whomever this week's 22-year-old panty model is, Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper in Serena, Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt in Love in Space, Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper in Joy, Jennifer Lawrence and Christian Bale in American Hustle, Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper in American Hustle, you know, to name just a couple, really.
Yeah. So that's love in 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
Darren, this is not some new thing of old dudes dating young women. This is not some new thing that I can't roll with.
Hmm. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like you're judging me. I don't like it. And, you know, I think, like I said, I think you are jealous, and you know, things are finally on track for El Diplop, and I don't think you can take it.
Mm-hmm. No,
I really don't.
Sure.
But look, enough about me, Vida Loco. Okay, mm-hmm. I've talked enough about myself. How are you doing? You know, we didn't get to talk much over the weekend due to my and Katrina's friendship and subsequent lovemaking marathons.
Well, I gotta say, honestly, I'm pretty angry right now.
Oh no. Did you run out of chain pizza restaurants to rail against?
Okay, that's
I'm just cool. Asking.
No, I didn't run out of chain. Why is that even a that's not all I do.
Seems like it. I mean, it's a major part. I would think if there was like a pizza, yeah, I've got pizza in the brain, I guess, because I'm talking to you, but like a pizza, like a pie chart, pizza pie chart, I would say making fun of pizza as and/or food would be like 99% of that pizza pie chart, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's I disagree with that.
All right.
I do think that Papa John's pizza it looks okay. I'm not even gonna. Never mind. I don't do that all the. Well, look.
So you went for it.
Look.
You have schnatter on the brain. You have schnatter on your bean.
I have schnatter.
So what do they call a brain? It's not. It's a bean. It's a noodle. You have schnatter on your noodle. That's a great saying.
Schnatter on your noodle, Papa John. Okay. What would
it be like if Morrissey had a song called Schnatter on My Noodle? Could you do it, please?
What would that be like?
Yes. He'd go, I've got schnodder.
Yeah, he'd go something like he would be singing it. He'd be asking someone for advice. He'd be like, oh, headmaster, please. I need some help. I got schnodder on the noodle. Oh, headmaster, what should I do? I've got schnodder on the noodle. And
would you put Mike on for a second?
Put Mike on? Really? No.
I gotta ask him something.
Seriously?
Yes.
Mike? Oh, headmaster. See, it's now stuck in my head. It's very catchy. What do you want to ask Mike?
Mike.
Yeah.
Level with me. He played a record, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking at him right now.
There's no record that he just happened to have called Schnodder on My Noodle.
I don't see any record
here.
No,
there's no record.
Oh, my God. I tell you, man, every time I think that you're a complete schlub idiot, mm-hmm. you surprise me and you prove yourself to be a weird genius.
Well, that's a sweet thing for you to say.
Well, to you I say namaste.
Well, thank you, Darren.
The genius in me recognizes the genius in you.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm irked because I've been I all my vacation days are just they're gone.
What do you mean?
No, like they're not gone like I used them all. I still had 10 days remaining to use of my that I was going to use for my summer vacation of days off. And then young lady Dalrymple tells me I don't have them to use.
Oh, man, it's crazy. I don't understand how that could happen, though.
I don't know. I mean,
what?
I gotta ask you. You got promoted to the computer department a few months ago, right?
I did, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's so good to be out of accounts perceivable. I can't tell you. Oh my God. Remember Milt?
Yeah.
Milt had the worst breath I've ever smelled. It was like he was breathing vaporized rotten merkins through a mustache that was made of fetid used wrestling tights that had been left in a hot junkyard refrigerator for like 8 months.
Darren?
Yes?
I don't want to talk about Milt right now. I just want to ask you a question.
Shoot, yeah.
Did you take my vacation days?
How dare you! Of course I didn't. You're my bestie. My ultimate bestie.
Okay. Well, that's a relief.
I just borrowed them.
Wait. Oh, you borrowed them?
Yeah. Why?
What are you talking about?
Well, I needed them for my honeymoon.
But they're not yours to take. They're mine. And what? That's illegal. What you did?
Okay. Well, I don't think it is, but I think if I'm guilty of anything, I'm guilty of one thing, and that's love. I'm guilty of love.
No, if you're guilty of anything, it sounds like you are guilty of it. You're guilty of actually two things, which would be whatever weird version of love you've been describing. And the thing you're truly guilty of would be going into the Consolidated Cardboard computer system and taking away my vacation days and giving them to yourself.
But Tom, like I said, we're going on our honeymoon. You weren't going to do anything nearly as cool with those 10 days.
Actually, I was, yeah.
What were you going to do? See a bunch of terrible movies to make fun of?
Stop with that. I mean,
what?
Look, if you want to know
what's the other part of the pie chart.
Oh,
that's okay. The other sliver.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you want to know honestly what I was going to do
with
the time off, I was going to, there's a big international wacky packages symposium in Beijing, and I mean, I had my flight and booked in hotel room and everything. Yeah.
Shut up. What? There's no such thing as a wacky packages symposium. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, there is, and it only happens once every 20 years. And I was gonna actually give a talk at it. Like a, I've been working on this 2-hour lecture on the 1991 wacky packages fiasco.
What fiasco?
I mean, well, if you really want to know, it's like this lecture I've been working on for a long time, and there was like an ill-fated 1992 wacky packages launch called, and the name of the lecture was Death Savers and Crips Ahoy, What Went Wrong?
I actually think that's funny. How is that wrong? Those are two funny ones.
Well,
I mean, wacky packages are hit or miss, but I think those are both hits.
They thought they were, it's like in a nutshell, they felt it was a little... It was a little ghoulish for the marketplace. And, I mean, they were competing with Garbage Pail Kids at that point, and those were getting rougher and rougher, especially like Series 4 of Garbage Pail Kids. So Wacky Packages was kind of trying to counteract that on the market, and then the Crips Ahoy one was the worst one because it was bringing in like gang stuff to Wacky Packages, and it just was a bad... Look, never... The big bummer of it is that the owner of Wacky Packages, you know, Walt Wacky, is retiring.
Okay.
And he was going to give me and the other lecturers a chance to maybe, I feel like we had a chance at taking over the whole factory. Like Willy Wonka, like the chocolate factory.
Huh, yeah. Look, you'll get to do something like that again. You know, I wouldn't sweat it.
I'm never going to get a chance to do anything like that again. When am I ever? The thing only happens every 20 years.
What's that, money? Ooh, okay. Ooh. Katrina says it's time to make our clothes disappear again. I'm getting ready. I've got to get ready.
Okay, baby. I'll be in the bedroom as soon as possible.
You know, Katrina's turned me on to all kinds of great new music.
Uh-huh.
This is a band called Mutilation Rites. They're really good.
Mutilation Rites.
Yeah, oh, they're really good. Sounds great, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Hey, look, I'm going to talk to you next week, okay? And I'll tell you all about our honeymoon. It's going to be great.
Hey, Darren, please be careful.
Oh, shut up, you ninny. This is going to be the best, most solid marriage of all time. Just you wait, all right? You're going to eat all those doubtful words that you said to me tonight. You're going to eat them all.
Oh, well, look. I want the...
Look, I gotta go. It's really getting hot, all right? Here comes the Ploppinator!
Darren? Oh, okay, I guess that's it. Ravi, Shabby.
Daddy said you gotta go. Mama said the door's good. I can't hire my little heart. I will not do what I should. But Uncle told me be afraid.
Oh, Ravi Shavi from this album. Not album, it's an extended play EP called Independent, and it's on Almost Ready Records. I love it. And that song was called Great Escape. Is it cold?
You cold? It's freezing
in
here.
All right, Judy Rosen. Hey, Mike. Can you shut the air off? I almost think it wasn't August. I'm here with Jay Penry, artist, who does... You know what Jay did? The Best Show mural.
Oh, what? I did. Well,
That was a big hit with the kids in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I went last week.
What'd you think? Did you like it?
It was beautiful.
Oh.
It was so nice to see. And we were looking at it and then admiring it, and I was so touched by it. You did such a beautiful job on it. Thank you so much.
I was out there painting in the rain, Tom.
I know.
You know, life, you know, a lot of deadlines. You got deadlines.
It's called being an adult, Jay.
Yeah. Well, I learned that day in Ridgewood.
Yes. It's called take the advice, Jay, from the woman who told the story about being on the back of a motorcycle screaming at a cop from the back of a motorcycle.
I have more.
Oh, that was not in dispute. Was just like, well, we heard Judy's two stories.
Yeah, that's all she's got. Yeah. No more stories.
We heard the story about the motorcycle.
Oh, no.
And we heard the story about about a guy who looked like LT.
Tip of the iceberg.
On the ramp.
The LT impersonator.
Yeah, out on the drug ramp.
You know what?
The West Side drug ramp.
I gotta say, if it was an LT impersonator, it would have been a better story.
Yeah, that might actually have been funnier.
Comedy-wise, hilarious. Impersonators are very funny.
Yeah.
Tom, I got to mention that my lovely wife, Megan, is the one who came up with the idea for me to paint Dogmo.
Really?
Yeah. She nudged me. I was way too shy. I was not going to do it, and then she...
Wait. Interior decorator, designer, Megan...
Extraordinaire.
Flug.
Yes, you're sitting right next to me.
That was your idea?
It was.
Yeah, into the microphone.
It was my idea, Tom.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That picture is framed, and I look at it every day.
Good. We love Dogma, too.
Yes.
As much as you did.
As much as I... Well, I would...
That's weird.
That would be very weird.
Sorry, I'm thrown off by these headphones.
I love your dog as much as you loved your dog.
I never met.
Look how I wear them. I have one on and I have one off. That way I hear the room with one ear.
Because you're a professional.
That's a disc jockey trick.
It is. Speaking of which, I'm going to go to the phones and see what's up. Who's good here, Mike? Mike doesn't even know anymore.
I hope Richard Dreyfuss calls back.
Best show.
Hi there. This is Grant from Pittsburgh.
Grant?
Yes.
From Pittsburgh, home of? Say it.
Mike from the Cynics.
That's right, Michael K. from the Cynics. And?
Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum. Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And?
Michael Keaton.
Yes. And? Friend of the best show? John Daly. John Daly.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And your favorite sandwich is a what now? Premonti Brothers.
It is very much not my favorite sandwich.
Pittsburgh. Not so much good food there, right?
Yes, I've heard you say this before.
I go to Pittsburgh. You know what that means? I'm at Jimmy John's. More than I would like to be, and once is more than I would like to be. So, what's going on tonight, Grant?
So, I have a couple things for the topic in both the best and the worst category.
All right, what do we got here? We need to make some ground. We're not going to finish this tonight. We did nothing on it tonight. What do you have? What's a great thing in the order of things?
So I think one of the best things, I know you're a dog person.
Uh-huh.
I'm a cat person. I think this works for either one. I'm going to say, like, when my cat crawls up on my stomach.
What's that song go? I don't even know that David Bowie song.
What's that?
What's that David Bowie song about cat people, right? Pour gasoline on your head or something like that. What is it?
Putting out fires with gasoline.
Yeah. So you're a cat person.
So I think one of the greatest things in life is when I fall asleep petting my cat, and when I wake up in the morning, she hasn't moved at all. And I can, like, continue petting her.
That is fantastic. The idea that you were petting your cat, drifted off to sleep, and then you wake up and there's a cat still in the exact same position. I'm putting that down. Cat stays
put
while I sleep. Now, what do you? What's a bad one? I'm going to put that. That's that. That would go. I'm putting that one in the place of. I'm putting that at number 10. We used to have randomly ordering something amazing at a restaurant. I don't care about that.
Who does that?
I don't know. Right? That sounds like an inherited one of these things. This is not my list. I look at this list and I see things that are clearly me on it, like one that would be mine would be like low on the list is like any Garfield subversions, like the idea like people who have to do like a weird, dirty Garfield thing or something.
I'm guilty of that.
Your weird Tijuana Bibles?
Garfield smoking pot drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it.
On trucks, you put the little truck stickers.
Garfield peeing on Dale Earnhardt's number.
So, young man from Pittsburgh, what's the bad thing you have?
That was Heathcliff.
So I think one of the worst feelings in the world is that split second after you hit the send button on an email and you realize there was a major, major mistake in the email, like you called somebody by the wrong name or something like that.
Yeah.
Putting that that's low. Painful.
Yeah.
Sending. You can unsend now.
You can?
Yeah.
What?
On Gmail. It's a command function, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but you can
send.
Unsend.
An email and regretting it.
Or turn your phone to airplane mode.
Gmail's terrible for you, though. Data mining! It's like Pokemon Go. You hand over your whole, you might as well scan your driver's license and put it on Twitter. Thank you, buddy.
Sure, thank you.
You know which one I think is the worst? You know what's the worst to me and drives me up the wall is when you're eating somewhere. And then, like, they're cleaning the table right next to yours, and they start spraying, like, disinfectant on it. Like, you're 2 feet from me.
Super barf.
And it's suddenly, like, pss, 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 pss. Yeah. Like, does Windex smell while, like, I'm eating right now.
Any kind of overzealous clearing. Just take it easy. Exactly. It's half a plate of food here.
Windexing the table. I'm putting that one last.
Windex. You're lucky if it's Windex.
You're lucky if it's Windex,
Some Cisco.
Yeah. This is not anything from the J.R. Reynolds Corporation.
Yeah, you're lucky.
The other bummer, you're right, is like when they're just like when they grab a plate, like when you're sitting, you're not done yet, but then like they, instead of saying, how are you doing here with this? Like they touch the plate that you're still using. Like, what do you got? You're trying to do a load on the dishwasher? You got an empty slot in the dishwasher? You got to fill up?
Stop yourself from hitting their hand with a fork?
Well, that's why Terry T is the greatest, because she just goes like, no, and then they go. Sorry, but she's totally right. It's like, why are you just touching it? Why can't you ask first? And then they just put their hand on it. Now your hand's near my food again. It's bad enough your hand was near my food once. Right? I can't look at people make my food. Like if I'm at a place and they're like, okay, we'll start making that. I turn away and then I'll turn back when it's ready because I don't want to see hands. Actually making the thing.
So like you stare out in the parking lot?
I will stare. I'll be like, I got a plain slice. And then the guy will go, okay. And then I quick turn away. I don't want to watch him.
Slide it into the oven?
I don't want to watch him touch it in any way. I just can't.
You're making me never want to go eat out ever again.
I'm sorry.
Well, does it make the list? What makes the list from all this?
You mean of these?
Yeah, well,
these are all on the list. Windexing the table. Don't touch my plate.
Staring into the middle distance while someone makes your food.
Is this good or bad?
Is that good or bad? No, look, that one I'm going to...
I think that's a pleasure that you can stare out into the distance while someone makes your food.
Yes, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yes.
That you can
that
just
you can
turn
avoid
away.
Avoidance.
And then...
Of horror.
This is what I'm going to put down. Very high on the thing. We're going to put down general avoidance of horror. General avoidance of horror.
Good side.
Goes at number 6.
Yes.
Best show.
Hey, Tom. It's Chris from Keyport, New Jersey.
Chris from Keyport, New Jersey. You know, what's Keyport, New Jersey all about?
It's a little town by the bay. It's like a square mile.
Mm-hmm. What's the closest town I would know to Keyport?
Mattawan.
Mattawan. What's going on tonight, Chris? Shark attack?
Yeah, there were famous shark attacks there that inspired Jaws.
Dreyfus.
Back again. I can't escape. Who's another person I could offer $100 to call in? If Richard Dreyfus is one.
Seinfeld.
Richard Kind.
Seinfeld? Richard Kind, no. Look, he'd have to pay me $100 to call the show. Joe Piscopo? I don't want to hear from Joe Piscopo.
There's got to be somebody local.
I was at a thing and Richard Kind was there. I can't handle that energy.
Does he sweat a lot?
Well, I sweat a lot, so I can't judge Richard Kind. Well,
maybe you guys got something in common. I don't know.
But he was saying something to, like, anyone who would listen to somebody. He's like, I have such a hard time eating these appetizers. Like, I'm trying to carry... It's like, oh, can you not be at that rate right now at this thing? Why are you, like...
Imagine trying to take his plate away before he's finished with it.
Oh, man. Yeah, can you imagine just, like, you done with this? Hand on it. No, I'm not done with it. Richard Kind. Right? He's good in A Serious Man, though.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie, Megan? I don't know. Coen Brothers?
Probably.
The Dybbuk?
You've seen it. We watched it together.
He's a Dybbuk! Cy Abelman. He was a Dybbuk the whole time. So, in Mattawan, what do you got for me, buddy, in Keyport?
Keyport. Something for the bottom of the list, like very, very low.
Yeah, what's that?
I took my grandma to go see Monsters Ball when it was in theaters.
Okay. That. Why did you take your grandmother to see Monsters Ball?
I didn't know. Like, we would just go see random movies, like matinees on like Mondays. Yeah. And there was a little like art theater in town where I grew up, and that was the movie it happened to be. And it was super awkward. So, I don't know, like maybe watching something inappropriate with a relative.
What did you think it was going to be? Monster Mash? Or something?
I don't know. I thought it would be like Sling Blade, maybe.
Which I wouldn't want to watch with a relative either.
Oh, boy.
That's a good movie.
Watching inappropriate movies with family members.
Growing up with my dad was kind of like being around Dwight Yoakam all the time. I did kind of get treated like that a lot.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like Sling Blade, not Wedding Crasher.
I know Dwight the Yoakam. Sheriff, J.P. Chilnut.
Mm-hmm. Antique furniture.
French fried taters.
Now, you did you sit there the whole time and watch that thing?
Oh, the whole time. She was like, what kind of movie is this? What are you taking me to?
That's on you.
Because we saw all these like really nice movies beforehand. Kind of like, you know.
Your poor grandmother sitting there watching Monsters Ball.
Yeah, it was a brutal movie.
What's next? Where are you going to take her to next? Right?
I think The Deep End.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you take her to Tickled? Why don't you take her to see Tickled next?
What's that?
Just go to it. Just take your grandmother. Right. The two of you go see Tickled together.
Okay. Oh, God, that documentary.
Yeah. Tickled! With an exclamation point. Thanks for the call, buddy.
I like that one. I've had those moments.
Best show, what, Tickled moments?
No, oh, watching like, oh, awkward movies.
What are you, Jane O'Brien? You tickle Terry? Welcome to the show. Hi. What's your name?
My name is Ben. I'm from Seattle.
Ben from Seattle. Not the
That's
good
me.
Ben. Not the good Ben, right? Not my friend Ben from Seattle.
No. Mm. Ben Gibbard, you mean? No, it's not that Ben.
So what do you want, other Ben?
I have one for the topic, the order of things.
Okay, what do you got?
Eggs.
Eggs. Like, where would you... What eggs in what way?
They're great. They are all-purpose, and you can cook them for all sorts of people, vegetarians and people on the paleo diet. They have lots of, beneficial nutritional value, and I would, I just would like to hear them ranked.
All right. Mike, how do you like your eggs? An omelet. What's the ideal AP Mike omelet? Western. Mike likes a Western omelet.
Avocado.
You want to throw some avocado in there? No, goodbye. Best show.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Tom?
Yes.
Hey, I had to take off my one headphone because I was doing the same thing you were doing.
Okay. To whom am I speaking?
Sparkle Bomb from Buffalo, New York.
Home of the garbage plate.
The garbage plate, the ice flow, you name it.
Have you ever had a garbage plate, Jay Penry?
I've never had the pleasure. I've heard of it. It's famous.
Judy, garbage plate. Sparkle Bomb, will you describe a garbage plate to jean designer Judy Rosen, whose line, a secret
batch. I might depend on the garbage plate.
Of Judy Rosen jeans is coming out next month.
I have never had one, but what I think it is that a bunch of trash foods that you would eat after you're wasted, they're all thrown onto the plate at the same time and then topped off with hot sauce.
I mean, Rochester is known as the garbage plate place.
Okay, truly, yeah. Right? Well, I mean, I've never had one, but okay. I do have something about the topic you were talking about.
Well, let me just describe this. Hold on a second. Garbage plate...
Okay.
Is a combination of two selections of cheeseburger, hamburger, red hots, white hots, Italian sausage, chicken tender, fish, fried ham, grilled cheese, or eggs, and two sides of either home fries, french fries, baked beans, or macaroni salad. On top of that are the options of mustard and onions and or hot sauce.
Yeah.
And then
basically everything you would throw onto a plate when you're really, really drunk at 4 in the morning and think it's really good and you're a culinary magician, you know?
Because we had this thing in New Jersey, the grease trucks.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the grease trucks in New Brunswick? They're beautiful. Oh, the grease trucks. I think they're on the ropes. I think the grease trucks are on the ropes. The grease trucks are a group of food trucks located in the College Avenue campus of Rutgers, known for the fat sandwiches, which is just a sub roll where they just drop anything on the sub roll. Mozzarella sticks, gyro meat,
a can of sardines, whatever you want.
They're not going to drop sardines on it. Come on.
Not with that attitude.
This sounds like the opposite of the avoidance of horror.
This food sounds like you have to be age appropriate.
Yeah, you're a college student. Sandwiches with this is in the controversy section of the Wikipedia for grease trucks.
Boy.
Sandwiches with colorful names such as Fat Bitch.
What?
Yeah. They ran that, like, they made them change because the sandwiches were like, the names were getting like filthier. And these preverts running these sandwich trucks would do a thing where they're just like, we'll give you a free sandwich if you pull your shirt up.
Oh, like the Jell-O Man.
Like the Jell-O. But unlike the Jell-O man, I don't think the Jell-O man is laminating the photo that he took and then slapping it on the side of his grease truck for you've graduated from college 9 years ago and there's still a picture of you pulling your shirt up for a free $4 sandwich.
No, instead he hires them.
Hey, Tom, guess what?
What's that?
I just want to say thanks for tipping because I dropped out of college and I personally live off of my tips because I'm a loser. But, by the way, Alicia Trout, one of the things I really love about The Best Show is that I learn a lot, like, about different cool people that I never knew about. And as Sparkle Bomb, I've called before, I make music and it's stupid and weird. It's like simultaneous consciousness. Like, I wasn't aware of her before. Like, I didn't have internet in college or shit. Or, sorry, I can't swear.
Come on, Sparkle Bomb.
About a decade ago, I found a suicide cassette tape in one of my roommate's, like, piles of trash. And R.I.P. Alan Vega. And, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the order of things as a young Sparkle Bomb, you know. Once a little baby tadpole. I used to work at a guitar center, but now I work at a coffee shop. And I want to talk about the order of things, like suits. I call people that wear suits, you know, lawyers, social workers, whatever. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, people that wear suits are kind of awesome. Like, they tip well, and they order really weird drinks, but this one guy that always gets, like, a decaf espresso in the morning, he'll come in at, like, 4 o'clock right before we close, and he'll order, like, a double shot of real espresso. And the other day, we were talking about how he has a pair of binoculars in his office, and I have a pair of binoculars in my backpack, and it's really cool, like, to, like, just watch people. And there's just, like, another lady that ordered 3 red eyes a day, which is, like, frickin' 3 espresso shots, 3 coffees, all in whatever. And we were talking about heavy metal parking lot the other day. And all these people wear suits. And it's so, like, disorienting.
I'm going to say this, though. Don't attribute all good stuff to people in suits.
No. I'm just saying that not all people that wear suits are really garbage.
No, like, that's true. That's true.
They're just, it's really interesting. Like, I've found that these people are really interesting.
Sounds like someone is learning a little bit more about life, not to prejudge. You are, as George Michael said, listening without prejudice. Volume 1.
Jeez. Tom, I'm almost 30 years old, like, and I'm now working, like, an 18-year-old's job, you know?
Don't worry about it. If you're under 30, just zip it.
I just wanted to say, I just really wanted to call to say that lady was really cool.
You'll get there. I don't want to hear anybody under 30 go, like, it's hard. You'll be okay. Just get punched in the face a bunch of times by life.
No, that's been my life, being continuously punched in the face. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say that it's really cool.
I watched Stranger Things. Why do you think I liked it? Because I felt like that poor kid, 11. That's me running around.
I don't even know what you're talking about because I still don't have the internet.
That's my story.
Tom, you're the best.
Thank you, Spark. You have a grand evening.
You too.
Hope Nation of Ulysses was listening to that call. Cool guys in suits.
They were cool guys in suits. Did you ever see them live?
Play a broken saxophone.
They were so good live. You saw them.
Incredible.
Weren't they?
The best.
It was like what the MC5 would have been.
Really? They made out with everyone in the front row of the audience.
I bet you they probably did.
They did their own cover of Tutti Frutti.
I covered Tutti Frutti the other night.
That's sort of the callback.
Hey, Pat. Did you like when I sang a song on your radio show the other night? Pat loved it. Oh, that's sweet of you to say. A couple things. These guys who run this Indiana Jones podcast. I made fun of you last week. You seem like very nice guys. I'm just jealous of what you have and I don't have. That's all that came from. That said, I don't know if I can do your show. I wish you nothing but the best of luck with it, though. New York Comic Con, you can drop dead for all I care. You deny. You don't give us press credentials. By all means, give press credentials to some...
Really?
Yeah, right?
Really?
Really.
The Comic Con. Wouldn't... They're like...
Wouldn't give me and the...
Because they're so classy.
Yeah, I know. Were they worried and going to show up at the Orphan Black panel?
Is it the one in New York Hotel or the Pennsylvania Hotel?
It's the New York.
Because they are lovely establishments.
It's the one at the Jacob Javits Center.
Ooh, they are coming up in the world.
They denied us press credentials, so they can jump in a lake. As far as I'm concerned,
I like the airing of grievances.
Clearing the deck, man.
Clear the deck.
Clearing the deck. I'm telling you, I'm going at everyone. I got nothing now. The odds are I don't see Halloween 2016. That's the over-under right now.
You got to get in this, like, Norman Reedus lane. You got to get, like, a sideshow where you, like, test cars or something.
I got to get something going on. I got to get, like,
the open road.
Yeah, like...
Have you seen this show? He just goes, cool, man. He just, like, somebody shows him a motorcycle.
I did this thing. Yeah. No, I do need a thing like that. I did this thing last week. I was on, you know the show Hack My Life?
Oh, on True TV.
On True TV, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I did a segment of that. God knows if it ever airs. And I did that last week. I got to get a thing like that going.
I'd hate to say, but with your track record, it's probably going to get cut.
Oh.
Whoa.
Ow.
What is my track record? Oh, you mean from Ant-Man? I got cut from Ant-Man. There's a scene with me and Paul Rudd in Ant-Man.
Look, you're genius and everything.
Thank you, Judy Rosen. And your jeans are available in September. The secret batch of Judy Rosen jeans.
Good luck getting them. They're secret.
It's the secret stash,
get them
right?
While they're hot. Yeah.
Where are people going to get those jeans? You're doing a pop-up? Are you going to go out of trunk? You should do out of trunk, right? Just like the way they would sell, records. Like the way, bands would sell records out of trunk.
In a 7-Eleven parking lot.
But that's the whole thing with the pants, because they're about lady figures. Yeah, they're about, complimentary to lady figures.
Yeah.
So if you sold them out of trunk... Right?
It
makes sense. So let's do that. Let's get a car, and then you just drive around and sell them out of trunk, and you just have like a curtain set up that people can try them on, like a portable, like one of those like round.
It's very, very no wave 80s of you.
Just do a Stranger Things tie-in and actually have it inside of like a tree stump.
I'm telling you, man. Did you watch Stranger Things, Mike? Dudio, you watched it? Pat? What? It's in his queue. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, you should see the things in my queue. Oh, my God. Things I'll never get to.
That Jocko Pistorius documentary.
That's in my queue?
Yep, I knew it.
I wonder if I'll ever watch.
I think about it like every 2 days. Is this the day that I'm going to watch the Jocko?
Scrolling past. Oh, there's the... There's the thing on, it's like, oh, there's Francis Ha.
Yeah.
I pass every day in my queue.
Pass.
Pass? Pass. There's, Chronic Con. the documentary, which is either Doug Benson or, what's his face, what's his name?
Snoop Dogg.
Hamburger Man. What's his name? What's Hamburger Man?
Hamburger.
Documentary guy, Hamburger Man.
Oh, I thought you meant the comedian that says hamburger.
No. What's Hamburger Man? He ate hamburgers for 30 days.
Morgan Spurlock.
Morgan Spurlock,
yeah.
Yeah. Hamburger Man.
Hamburger Man. I kept thinking of the Hamburger Helper.
I was at a Nets game with Hayes Davenport.
Love that name.
Yeah.
Great name.
The name, as great as the name is, the person is even better.
Wow. I love that.
So I'm at this thing, and then we're watching this dude at the baseline when the Nets were making a soon-to-be-failed rally, as they always did. They were, every Nets game I saw last year, they'd sounds be down like by 12. They were down by 12,
yeah.
And then they'd be down by 17, and then they would come back and be down by 6, and then the place goes nuts. And it's like, they're going to lose this, everybody. You know, no one can shoot on this team. So we're watching along the baseline, and there's some dude working the thunder stick so hard. And then we saw him on the Jumbotron, and I was like, it's like, and we were like, I think that's Morgan Spurlock banging the thunder sticks.
Like the handlebar mustache, blonde yeah. handlebar mustache.
So I tweeted at him. I was like, if that's Morgan Spurlock working those thunder sticks, he's got some good, whatever I wrote, something about within. Then Hayes is like, he's looking at his phone. That dude is looking at his phone. And then I looked at my phone, like 1 second later, it's like Morgan Spurlock favorited this tweet.
It was him.
It was him.
You and I had a similar thing at LCD Sound System when you swore that you saw Chuck Klosterman.
Did I?
Yeah. We were like, we kept going like, that's definitely Chuck
Klosterman. How is this different than my LT story?
Well, because we're not accusing him of... Well, I wasn't... We weren't accusing Chuck Klosterman.
I'm sorry, I don't see the difference.
He wasn't on the drug ramp.
Thunder sticks on a Class A drug.
Wasn't saying Morgan Spurlock wasn't banging thunder sticks out on the West Side Highway
it
drug
sounds...
ramp.
The drug queue.
So.
Okay, slight difference. Maybe. Yeah.
There was
seems
a guy.
Pretty similar.
When Jay took me to see LCD Sound System, the drunkest person I've ever seen was at that, who pushed his way through, spilled.
Yeah.
They, first of all, what were they doing selling beer? There was like one song
they
left.
They should have never sold this
thing.
Guy anything.
This guy had like two, he came in with like, there's like, they've been playing for over 2 hours now.
The garden, it's like $16.
No, this is not a garden show. This is Webster Hall.
Oh. Yeah.
They had some of their secret reunion shows.
Mm-hmm. And this guy was so drunk, and he was just like leaning on the wall.
Like, should have been in the hospital.
Yeah. He spilled easily two-thirds of his beer on me as he went by, just like, blah! And then everybody was like looking at him like, what, like, that guy is super drunk.
Like, yeah, there was like a wagon circle of people just gossiping about this guy.
Yeah.
And pondering calling the authorities.
Yeah. Everyone was, and I think some people thought, is he with you? I don't want to tell you, but your friend is garbage.
Because he looked over at you when you said, hey man, watch it. He went blah blah blah.
He literally went blah blah blah.
Tom.
Yeah. Well, we've reached that point in the program where the program's over. It's the point in the program, which is the end of the program. So I want to say, first of all, Jay Penry, people can find you at SJ Penry on Instagram.
Yep.
The best Instagrammer in the business.
I'll get out of here.
It's Jay Penry.
Thank you. Try so hard.
He is. The work. How long does he work on those Instagrams, Megan?
It's constantly.
Like when you see him scrolling through, looking at pictures of Johnny Depp, like looking for the perfect picture of just like, the perfect picture. Johnny Depp seems to come up a fair amount on your
Instagram. Yeah, he's a favorite.
He's photogenic.
Yeah, he's very,
flamboyant dresser.
And you also did the mural for me, for the best show.
Yeah, absolutely. And then anybody that wants to advertise in New York City, hand-painted advertising, hit me up. You can DM me on Instagram.
And it's worth it. It's super cool.
Yeah.
Totally affordable.
Get your thing up there.
I just did one for Of Montreal today.
So that's up.
There you
People can check that out. And, Megan, you're on Instagram at Meg.
Megan's Instagram game is tight.
Yes. No, that house.
Tight.
That's like the, it's like the, it's like the, it's like the Brad and Angelina of Instagram.
Oh my, this is high praise.
Yeah, Angelina's way more successful than Brad at this in this version.
So you were as Meg Pflug.
It's just me Pflug, MEPFLUG.
Megan Elizabeth.
Okay, and you can see because you do all sorts of design, like
interior design projects. Yes,
interior, and everything looks so nice.
You get professional your photography. Yeah. Guys.
Get this. You got some pile of junk place in New York, and she'll actually make it look like it's nice.
Exactly.
Jay and I are the yin and yang of Instagram, if you want some diversity.
I'm the one posting garbage Jay photos finds, of Marilyn Manson every day.
And now, Judy, you're on as, this is my favorite.
My Instagram game, not so tight.
It's usually
I think
it's like
I
usual
choose
carnival
to offend.
Photos.
I choose to offend.
It's like every photo seems like it's a picture of like a Ferris wheel or someone buying like a candy apple.
A feral clown.
Yeah. Or someone dying in Times Square. Like those are your pictures. It's
pretty
either
much,
like a picture of somebody
that
buying
sums,
a candy apple or someone who is currently dead.
One guy had like 40 pacifiers on his backpack the other day.
Yeah, that was really good.
So you're on as Lil, L-I-L. Lil, you say it. I'm going to say
it. Tom's blushing.
Tom, you understand that it's my dog.
Yeah,
right?
No, I know.
It's not a...
So
don't
say
have to
the
be
name.
Shy.
Then say
you don't
the
have
name.
To be shy when you say
What's
it.
What's the name of it?
Lil Boner 69.
So the dog, it's the number part that has nothing to do with the dog.
It's my lucky number. What is? Okay. What's the problem?
Yin and yang.
Yin and yang, dog.
Mike, if you had to put rank Judy as a guest, where would you put on a scale of 1 to 10?
11.
9. Mike says you're a 9.
Wow.
Mike, I think you're aces.
You are like Mike.
You know I'm a fan, Mike, right? I think I've made that clear.
Judy's a fan of yours, Mike. He needs fans. Well, I want to tell everybody, thank you for listening. We will be back next week is what? We'll be here next week. Sure. Why not? Where do I have to go? I got nothing. I got a whole lot of nothing going on. The alternate version of Whole
it
Lot of Shaking
like a
going.
Doo-wop song. Do-do-do-do, whole lot of nothing going on.
You mean like the Jerry Lee Lewis song, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, which I just said 30 seconds ago. I am going to tell you, we'll be back next week. And in the meantime, listen to, what should I play? I'm going to play that. Not playing that. Definitely not playing that. Not playing that. Not playing that. Not playing that.
Play something from the... You guys were talking about synthwave bands last week. I was really enjoying that.
Oh,
DAF and Bronski Beat.
I can't.
Oh, that's your favorite.
Who is my favorite?
No, Jay. Okay. Really loves Bronski.
Those are my favorite bands.
Yeah, Yazoo. I love all that stuff.
Yes. Well, did you ever see any of those bands in concert, Jay?
I saw Depeche Mode at the home of the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on a pretty exciting show.
No, I saw Depeche Mode, Radio City. Black Celebration.
Did
tour.
He do the one-footed spin where he just spins off the one foot?
He sure did.
He always does.
He did. I don't want to draw for the blasphemous rumors. That was a good night when he did that. I also saw Erasure.
Sure.
Wow.
I saw...
That's Vince, right?
That was Vince.
Yeah.
I saw Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
At the
Two Tribes
Beacon Theater.
Era or Pleasure Dome?
It was the Pleasure Dome tour. It was their U.S. tour. It was the U.S. tour. One of the all-time best shows I've ever seen, Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Really?
Yes. They were so
I was
great.
Obsessed with them when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Well.
I recently dove into watching all four versions of...
Relax.
Yeah.
All the videos, yeah.
So good.
Including the one from Body Double.
So good.
Mm-hmm. What am I going to play? Show's never going to end. Can't find one song. Fine. I'll play this dumb thing. It's not dumb. I like all these things. Can't play that. Here, you know what I'm going to play? This is from this. Neil Haggerty releases Howling Hex cassette of the album Denver, which is, the mix is called Approved for Indica mix of the songs. Here is,
so weird.
And it's super guitar-y and crazy. Here is the song Random Friends, and we will be back next week. Thank you for listening. It's on Drag City. Shut up! Bye!